7 o'clock according to cell phone time. But see the flags.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is the September 19th, 2022 public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, and State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and a notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the Township website, the bulletin boards at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday, prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Butcher?
Absent.
I yield.
Mr. Glaser?
Here.
Mr. Higgins?
Absent.
Ms. Johnson?
Present.
Ms. Kleinman?
Absent.
I yield.
Mr. Ledger?
Here.
Mr. Levine?
Here.
And Mr. Tonight?
Here.
The record can reflect the chairman beat me fair and square.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it?
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Okay, we don't have any minutes tonight. No resolution. So it looks like we have a capital improvement review on First Hunterdon County Vocational School District at North Hunterdon High School, Block 79, Lot 11445, Route 31.
All right, Chairman, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to speak.
Okay.
So it will be in the back.
Great. So, would you like to introduce yourselves up there and then?
Sure. My name is Howard Beck. I'm with the law firm of Beckwell LLC, our city.
Thank you. And I'm the. V as in Victor? Yes. And the law firm is Vexlaw LLC in Parsippany. And I am the attorney for the Hunterdon County Vocational School District, Board of Education. And we're here today for capital review under the Municipal Land Use Law, NJSA 40:55D-31, for your review and recommendations to see how you feel about our project. No, we understand no action is to be taken, but we'd like to hear what you have to say. And we have our superintendent, who's very familiar with the project, our architect, and our engineer here. And if you like, I can bring them up individually to talk a little bit about the project. Or if you have
questions. Yeah, why don't you? We've gone through quite a few of these in fact.
Right. So actually, with that explanation, I actually have nothing to add.
Right.
Because he's exactly right. This is for review and recommendation.
Right.
It's not a public hearing. No one has to be sworn. We just need somebody to take the board through the plans, be available for questions, and then if they have questions that that person can't answer, it looks like they have three other people that will be, or four other people, who will be able to answer the questions. But we have to get Larry and Tom on the phone.
And Larry,
meaning the board engineering expert, and Tom being the board planning expert.
And while they're doing that, I'll just note there is nobody from the public. Everybody here is the school board. Or the...
Yes. Yep. That's correct.
Just so you know, my phone is going to have Larry, the engineer, and his phone is going to have Tom, the planner. All right. There you go. I'm going to put you on speaker.
Hey, Tom.
Okay. So my cell phone is Larry. And Denise's cell phone is Tom.
Thank you. The attorney.
And if you speak into the microphone, these guys should be able to hear you. We've done this before.
Okay.
You can
start.
Sure.
By the way, I have a microphone for Larry and Tom in front of them.
So we're going to just start with our superintendent with just a brief explanation of what the project is, and then we'll put our engineer on. So this is Todd Bonsall, Superintendent of Schools for the Hunterdon County Vocational School District.
Would you spell your last name?
B as in boy, O, N as in Nancy, S-A-L-L.
Okay.
All right. Well, good evening. We're here to talk about our project. This project being funded through the Securing Your Our Children's Future Bond Act, in which 75% of it is funded by the state, 25% by the county. Altogether, and we were awarded two different grants, one for $20 million, one for $5 million. So altogether, it's a $25 million project. So what is that, 18.75 will be the county or the state, and 6.25 million will be from the county. It will have six current technical programs. They will be welding, diesel, electrical, HVAC and plumbing, advanced manufacturing and aeronautical sciences together, and culinary arts. So, what did I miss?
Why are we building this?
So there's definitely a need for this. There's our enrollment has been growing for current technical education throughout the county. Parents are looking for more affordable ways for their children to earn a family-sustaining wage, and rather than the high-cost college. So they're looking for that, or they can learn a skill and then also go to college. So that's the reason, main reason why. Each program will have, that I mentioned, will have 25 students per grade level, and they'll be starting in 9th grade through 12th grade. And except the culinary arts will be able to have 40 students. So that's an expansion of the culinary program that we had down at our central campus, but we're moving that up here. And we're going to be doing some things different with that space down there. We're going to have this on the North Hunterdon School campus. The reason for that is we could not use any of the funds to purchase land. So this was an economical way of doing that, and I think fiscally responsible for the county taxpayers. The way it'll be modeled is the students will basically spend maybe 25% of their day in our building, and then they'll walk across the campus and take their academic classes with North Hunterdon. So it's a true partnership with North Hunterdon High School.
And will there be additional students because of that?
This will meet the needs of additional students than what we're currently serving, absolutely, yes.
Is this,
into the microphone so these guys can hear what you're saying, too.
Which one? Here?
Yeah,
I know. Okay, no problem. I have a question. So, two questions. What is the basis of the demand for the vocational school? I guess because you had said, 25 to X and X amount of kind of students would attend in these vocational programs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just want to confirm, just for the public's knowledge, what the basis of the demand is for the vocational expansion.
Well, we work closely with the Department of Labor, and we also work with the what's the group in Somerset? I forget the name of the number, but over in Somerset, Workforce Development Board, and they've explained to us. We've done studies with them as to which careers are needed the most, in not just in Hunterdon County, but within the region.
Right.
There's a lot of growth and things happening in New Jersey that need these people with these skills.
Okay. And the second question was, is this going to be some type of dedicated opportunity for the existing high school students to that are like kind of attending the high school already and they're going for kind of a work related school educational function, or is it solely for the technical students at the proposed new development site?
So as a county technical school, we accept students from all over the county. And we can also accept them from outside the county, from some of the neighboring counties, and they can come in as long as there's space available, from outside the county. They start off in these programs will start off in 9th grade through 12th grade, which is different than our current model of share time, which they only come half a day in 11th and 12th grade. So they're almost getting double their time in their CTE career field of choice. And they can earn some more college credits with many of our programs. They can earn many industry credentials as well.
Are the students that are going to participate in this proposed development and vocational building program, are they dedicated and matriculated exclusively? to the proposed site, or are they high school?
They would be our full-time student, okay. All right, through the county vocational. They would get their high school diploma from us, but then through a partnership with North Hunter, then they would take their academics. So we would basically subcontract them. Instead of us building, coming to you and saying we want to build a $120 million building with all these academic classrooms, we're not doing this. This is actually a kind of unique model in New Jersey that we've been proposing as a partnership model with the so it works collaboratively with the sending districts.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Is this an expansion of what you already offer, or are you
going to
move programs?
We're doing a little bit of shuffle, but for example, down at the Central Campus.
Is Central Campus in Raritan Township?
Yes, it is. Yes, that's in Raritan Township. And we also have a rental facility at the Bartles Industrial Park, mm-hmm. which is a leased facility. We will be getting out of the leased facility to own the building.
So, I guess some of the news accounts talked about enrollments for 500. Some of the news accounts, their news accounts, I didn't put their work, talked about 500 new students and there's 475 in VoTech already. Mm-hmm. So, I'm just trying to square the numbers around this. Mm-hmm. If I got your numbers right, 25 per 5 of the programs is 40, it's about 165 per class in
per grade level. 165 ninth graders. Then they'll become sophomores and so forth. That's how you get to the 500.
Oh, I got it. Okay. So it becomes that number in 4 years.
In 4 years.
Grow into it.
But okay. They're not in this building the entire time.
Of course. They're right. Like across the county.
Only there 25% of the time.
Yeah. I see. Okay. So they're not from throughout the county, of course.
Right. They're from all over the county. Like, it could be down from South Hunterdon or Del Valle or Hunter and Central's catchment zone. They can come from anywhere.
Right.
But they would end up being a full-time student there on that campus and take their academics there. They would also participate in extracurricular activities there at North Hunterdon as well.
So let's say as a kid currently in culinary, he lives in West Amwell or something, and goes to Central.
Mm-hmm.
Now he would come to campus, go to North for his academic classes. He wouldn't get bused back to Central to,
No.
His whole day.
Spend his full day at North. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So also the benefit was it'll eliminate the midday bus run that happens, which is very costly for the school district. So they'll have some savings there as well.
Mm-hmm. So after 4 years, it's 660 kids.
I believe that's what the number is. Yeah. Okay. It's 165 or 125 times 5 is 125 plus 40 is 165. 165 times 4.
Yeah, I just did that.
Yeah.
So it's probably not really a fair question for you because I'm just thinking about bringing that many kids onto the North Campus. There are enrollments down over the years. I just mm-hmm. can't. I'm just trying to figure out what that means to the North Campus.
So North Hunterdon traditionally, of our total enrollment, represents about 40% of our enrollment.
Ah.
Right. The other 60% is from Central, because 40% comes from Central, and the other remaining 20% comes from Del Valle, South Hunterdon, and out of county.
I also think that over the years, because of where most of your stuff is located in around Farmington and Central,
mm-hmm.
was that a disincentive for North County kids to take these programs, to have to drive, get the 10 miles? I mean, but now is it less of a disincentive now that it's offered, up here? Or the programs are spread more throughout the county. So, I mean, there's a benefit to that.
Okay, yeah. I would think that. I think that would make sense, yeah.
If having to go all the way down to 10 miles
apart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Like,
incentive if you lived up here. You know?
Right. Like, we have our animal science program up in Califon at the ESC campus. It's a full-time program in partnership with Voorhees High School, similar models to what I just explained. And students that we have do have some students that come from south all the way out. Now, the numbers from south are smaller, but it's also a smaller school, too.
Mm. One more question.
Yes.
So, I'm not sure if you know the answer to this now, but I'm curious if you know any statistics in the last 5 years about the ratio of children who have matriculated in this program, graduated, and been certified
mm-hmm.
from a community standpoint.
Well, I would say not about 90% of our students, they complete their program, a two-year program currently, and our academy students, they're all doing very well, and going because we also have academies in North Hunterdon and Voorhees, which are competitive programs to get into. But they all do. We have a very high graduation rate, completion rate. Did that answer your question?
Thank you.
The academies continue, though, right?
Yeah, and the academies will continue.
Okay.
Yes.
This is on top of it.
This is on top of that. Yeah. And these are areas that are much needed.
Yeah.
The advanced manufacturing aeronautical sciences, they will learn how to build rockets that are 6 foot tall and go a mile high. They'll compete through a company called Systems Go. Mm-hmm. Now, they might have to travel somewhere because they have to have a 2 mile radius of nothing in it, how they launch them, so, and nothing overhead. So,
thank you.
All right.
All right, now I'd like to introduce our engineer, Brett Pappy.
Can you spell your last name?
Yes, it's Pappy, P-A-P-I. I'm with East Point Engineering. I'm the civil engineer for the project. Nice to meet you all.
And I see that you have two or three color-rendered drawings up there. You have what looks like C-102.
I'm going to speak to C-102 right now, and the architect's going to speak to the other exhibits.
Okay, and the other two exhibits are architectural exhibits?
Yes, that's correct.
Even though C-102 is in the board file, as well as A-112 and A-115, we have in the board file black and white.
Okay.
So let's mark C-102 as A-1.
I'm going to mark the back, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. And we're going to keep these exhibits just until you guys replace them with paper, color-rendered, foldable exhibits. Then we're going to give you these back, because we prefer to have something folded up and put in a nice file. We prefer not to have the big numbers. Okay.
Absolutely.
So A1 is a color-rendered version of C-102, and I'm saying this for the benefit of Tom and Larry.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm going to give a brief overview of the project site. I know you're all familiar with it, and we just kind of spoke about it. But the project site's known as Lot 1, Block 79. It's situated along the northeast corner of New Jersey Route 31. It's comprised of 49.3 acres, currently developed with the North Herndon High School. As previously mentioned, its associated athletic fields and parking lots pretty much make up the entire site. The property is located in the RR4S, the Rural Residential 4S Zoning District. Surrounding uses are single-family homes to the west and to the south. There's commercial, industrial, or commercial and office buildings to the north. And there's an Exxon Mobil campus to the east side across Route 31. The specific site area, we'll call it, is for the project is 3.2 acres. That's located just off Regional Road, where there's an existing access driveway, and there's an existing large parking lot there right now today.
So on Exhibit A1, can you outline the 3.2 acre site area?
Yes, just within this vicinity here, where the proposed improvements are. I'm drawing my line. It comes in around the pump station, down along the road, and then back up along the tennis courts. So it's within this area. Within that area, there's also some storage sheds, some outbuildings that are currently used by the Board of Ed for the North Herndon High School through the agreements that the North Herndon Vocational School has. Those buildings will be removed. They're no longer going to be needed. There's some smaller sheds that they no longer need at the bottom of the hill. And the one building is pretty old building that's pretty much obsolete. I don't think they're using it right now. It's vacant. So that building is going to be demolished.
Not replaced elsewhere, no. Okay.
The existing Board of Ed office will remain. The existing maintenance building here will remain. Yeah. And then there's an existing pump station at the bottom that's only been operated by the Clinton Township Sewage Authority. That's going to be remain and be upgraded.
Mm-hmm. Is that separate?
Totally separate from our project, yes.
Thank you. Continue.
The proposals to construct a 25,440 square foot vocational school, as mentioned. There's an asphalt parking lot that's proposed just off to the right side of the entrance drive, where there's 56 parking spaces proposed. There's other parking. There's about 10 parking spaces proposed at the front of the building. Another 5 spaces here at the northeast or northwest. And then there's 5 additional spaces up at the top here, which will be utilized by the Board of Education for the North Island. That's correct. We had discussed the layout extensively with the High School North. One of the things that we were they were adamant about was maintaining an access road from their for their maintenance purposes along the existing driveway. Mm-hmm. This is a much wider driveway today.
Yeah.
We're closing it off and leaving only 20 feet of that driveway for maintenance purposes by the request of the North Iron High School.
What was the nature of that request?
They use it for maintenance vehicles, and they want to be able to still have access to the maintenance garage here. So some of the things that an architect and I will get into, but some of the things we had to incorporate into our site plan and the layout of the building were emergency bollards at the front for crash protection and, other things that we're logically thinking through, crosswalk locations and things like that. Mm-hmm. There's a staircase proposed at this area, and we'll get into the circulation and a little bit of traffic, but that was intentionally put there. Mm-hmm. There's crosswalks proposed for pedestrian access. There's a small paved and concrete access for the softball field off to the right side, which mm-hmm. doesn't exist today, right. Something we're putting in. And
at the request of the high school.
The school district's proposing to install, I saw a review comment, I'd like to just put it on the record here, we're proposing all new concrete sidewalk. There's a new sidewalk that's proposed from the front of the school building all the way down the entrance drive toward Regional Road. Mm-hmm. It's shown here in like a light gray.
Right.
There's also new LED lighting proposed throughout the parking lot and up the driveway and in the current in the proposed front of the building. Right now, the lighting that's at the site is very poor. We've spoken to the facilities manager, again, extensively, and there's really no rhyme or reason or systematic design to the lighting that's out there. He said it's very poor. So in the process of doing these improvements, there's a couple really old pole-mounted light fixtures, utility pole fixtures that are outdated that are being removed. There's another old cobra head fixture at the front entrance being removed and replaced. And then within this area at the back of the pump station, as part of the pump station improvements, they're going to be removing one tree. And that was a comment about tree removal. Mm-hmm. They'll be removing one tree at the back corner here, and we're removing one tree at the front corner of the entrance drive that's in the way of the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. We're also proposing new shade trees throughout the property. You can see them shown here in the dark green. There'll be shade trees throughout the parking lot where we can place them in areas where there'll be landscape bedding. There's shade trees at the back corner and shade trees along the drive. We intentionally did not put shade trees in front of the pump station by the request of the sewer authority. There's a proposed flagpole and landscaped area right at the front here. The proposed flagpole is going to be 80 feet high, okay, that's by the request of the school district. And also there'll be a sign at the front of the school, which will just show the school name. I have a picture of what that sign might look like.
Is that in the board file?
I don't believe this is in the board file right now. I bought an extra copy, though. The sign is proposed to be in the front of the flagpole.
Oh, I see.
Up at the top of the hill. This, and I'll get into the property topography. Yes.
You said A2, right? A2?
That's
going
to be A2. Mark that one on the front, right. When you mark and put the date, not put the date on the back of 81 also. Yeah, you move back on looking at this. And then I'm going to pass it around. So this, what are we going to call this? We're going to call proposed signage for Hunter and Votek. How's that?
Yeah, Palin, maybe?
Is that the sign from our current building?
So it's not going to say Central Campus, it was North Campus.
So John, does that talk about the size of the sign?
Yeah, it does. It's kind of funny because we've seen this one.
Yeah.
Because we see the sign variant in our town.
Oh, okay.
On the BOA adjournment.
I was like, oh, I saw this sign.
So the sign itself is 4 feet 4 inches tall and 7 feet 4 inches wide, not including the stone columns on each side. Each of the columns is 18 inches wide.
So are the lighting upgrades exclusive to the proposed redevelopment site, and are they funded directly by the proposed project?
The site lighting you're referring to? Mm-hmm. That'll be part of the bid package for this project.
And exclusive to the proposed redevelopment site?
That's correct. They'll be on their own controls. The existing sloping driveway, as I mentioned, will be left in place by the request of the BOE. I just want to make sure I hit everything. There's also a proposed refuse enclosure. I know as a comment, it's right here at the opposite side of the front of the school. It's going to be fully fenced around on all sides. There's a gate at the front. So, and then there's also proposed landscaping around the backside, skip laurel, at a mature height installed. We have the proposed development. I'd like to get into the stormwater a little bit, just briefly. The proposed development will disturb more than 1 acre of land. It will also increase impervious by more than 1/4 acre, and as a result, it's classified as a major development under the state statutes NJAC 7:8. It must comply with stormwater management requirements associated with water quantity. I know there's an email that just came through
right
for the meeting. I want to address that. Since there's an overall decrease in the area of vehicular surfaces, which is a 9,765 square foot decrease in vehicular surfaces, the requirements for water quality are not applicable. Okay. Additionally, since we've had extensive geotechnical studies done at the property, they found that there's karst material below grade. That was done by Melitoli and Associates, GZA. There's no requirement for groundwater recharge because you can't recharge in those conditions. However, we are addressing the stormwater quantity reductions for the 2, 10, and 100-year storm event by installing an underground detention basin underneath the proposed parking lot. And that basin will be fully enclosed. It will not have any recharge capability because of those subsoil conditions. It'll have an outlet control structure. And that will allow the discharge from the basin to meet the required reductions. The flow is going to go down to where it does today. The property slopes about 30 feet, very steep from the top to the bottom, there's through that existing parking lot. And I've interviewed the facilities manager extensively. That parking lot pretty much rushes down. So our proposal is to install major stormwater enhancing improvements to counter cut off that flow and bring it routed into the ground, into the storm piping collection system, and that basin will tie into that. So we're reducing the flow, but we're also rerouting the flow, and it's going to connect at the bottom of the hill inside an enclosed system.
Is there two quick questions?
Yes.
The 9,000, how many square foot decrease in parking?
9,765.
And you say because it's decreasing by that amount, there's no requirement for what?
Those are vehicular surfaces. So when you're decreasing the amount of vehicular surface, that's a water quality enhancement in itself because there's no more parking, no more car driving vehicles on that surface.
Yeah.
It's substituted for building area.
I understand the cars, the sinkholes.
Right.
But here's my question. When you do that, is it that the requirements don't apply or that those are grounds for the to have relief from the requirements?
So with the stormwater, the new green infrastructure regulations, that's part of the rule. So if you're if you're reducing the amount of vehicular surface, it exempts you from having to provide water quality.
The board is obviously going to want to ask Larry about that.
That's fine.
Can they ask him now, or do you want to finish first?
No, it's up to you. It's up to you.
Okay. I'm fine either way.
You want to stop about Larry?
Larry.
While I'm on the topic, might as well look
at that. Larry, while I'm on the topic, did you hear the testimony, which is they acknowledge they're a major development because they're disturbing more than an acre and a 1/4 acre of
new impervious.
Right, new impervious. But the testimony is because they're reducing by 9,765 square feet vehicular parking surface, there's no requirement for any additional water quality enhancements, and because they have documented karst by Melitoli, which the township has recognized Melitoli as one of the preeminent below ground geotech firms. They say there's no requirement for recharge. Do you agree with what he just said?
I would agree you can get a single waiver for the recharge. charge if cars last
day. I guess I thought it was a waiver and not it's not applicable.
There's in my if we want to seek a waiver here, I'd be happy to request that.
This is a review and recommendation.
We're not governed by the NJDEP in any of our applications, so the state's not.
How are you not governed by the?
We don't have an NJDEP permit application. We're stormwater is under review, so they're not reviewing our application for stormwater at the moment.
Who is reviewing the application for stormwater?
The state DCA is reviewing the project. We have the Soil Conservation District, the local soil district reviewing it. Right. But they don't require a waiver, such a waiver. And the county planning board as well is reviewing it.
Hmm. Larry.
Yeah.
Is that the case? I mean, how?
I think that any government agency still has to adhere to state regulations. It's similar to the township.
No, Larry. He's not saying that. Well, let me find out. Are you saying that
if the township were to take on its own capital improvement project and they had a formal review process, it is still an obligation of the engineer of record to comply with the requirements, even though you may not be subject to a review?
I understand. Yeah. But if the requirement in the NJDEP regulations, which I believe is 7:8.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. If it says in there that if you have cars, you can qualify for a waiver. It's not that it's not applicable. What do they do in a case like that if he's saying that they don't have any other reason to be in front of the DEP, so they wouldn't apply for a waiver? I don't understand. I don't understand that.
And I also, just for the record, I also consulted.
If you get an approved variance that's submitted to a municipal review, you still report that to the county.
Mm-hmm. We have.
You report that to the county and to the DEP. So I don't know if this self-reporting, where you just indicate that you cannot meet the requirements.
If the planning board, board recommending, right, that you self-report the no recharge waiver, and if you say non-applicability of water quality to both the county and the NJDEP, would you guys agree to do that self-reporting if the planning board recommended it? I'm asking the board attorney. You can consult with anyone who's sitting in the audience if you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah,
it's a recommendation, that's all. They don't have to agree. They're agreeing.
We can still make recommendations. They don't have to agree with
it.
We can still
recommend. Well, I think it's a good idea.
I didn't want to interrupt Larry, but I did consult with the NJDEP on this project, Land Use Division, and I got all the guidance that I'm designing through the DEP.
So it's compliant.
That's correct.
That's good to know.
I guess a question for the engineer record is how, even if it's just a water quantity requirement, the big push was for green infrastructure. And you're supposed to implement certain BMPs that qualify for green infrastructure, and solid wall under subsurface extended detention is not qualifying for green infrastructure.
But we're reducing the amount of vehicular parking surfaces, which does.
Yeah, but for water quality, we still have a quantity requirement, and
we are doing quality.
You'll have to implement any time you're under 7:85-3 for green infrastructure. There is a strict requirement to comply with the tables in the regulations, including for quantity. And it says, to satisfy water quantity standards, design engineers should utilize BMP from table 5.1 and 5.2. And I don't see any of that in the project. Again, I know we can't require it, but in the case of full compliance with stormwater regulations, I know the big push was for, more at point source runoff controls and green infrastructure, and what you've got right now is, I know, more in line with the older versions of compliance.
Like I said, I consulted with the NJDEP Director of Land Use, explained the exact, the details of the project, and explained to him the reductions in the vehicular surfaces, and I was told that we did not have to provide any water quality treatment because we're significantly reducing the amount of vehicular surfaces So
it was an informal hallway.
It was, and I can get that in an email or in writing. Yeah.
He's saying we cut off quantity. So.
But we are doing quantity reductions. So.
So explain the quantity reductions, because you said that there was no requirement for water
quality. Plans, right.
And that first you said there was the recharge was not applicable. Really, you
correct.
Qualify for a waiver. But you did say...
We are providing quantity reductions.
Yeah, so describe how you're doing the water quantity reductions.
So, as I said, we're going to have an underground detention basin beneath the parking lot, mm-hmm. which will have an offline outlet control structure that will throttle the storm events for the 2, the 10, and the 100 year to meet those required quantity reductions.
But Larry's saying that when that's you do the water that's quantity reductions, you're supposed to be
table
using...
Table 5-3, and right at table 5-3 is the BMP that can be used for quantity only with a waiver or variance from the green infrastructure. And again, it's not qualifying for the current BMPs.
But see, you understand what he's saying? In his opinion, the water quantity reductions still have to qualify under those green infrastructure rules,
right.
unless you get a waiver or a variance.
I can consult with the same person that I consulted with who issues those permits. He's a bureau chief, and I'll get an email or something in writing if that's what I need.
I'll
have something.
That covers this thing.
Yeah.
That
I could definitely get something in writing. Yeah. That's not a problem.
Because we don't want to create stormwater problems. I don't want to hear from the neighbors
right.
about a stormwater there.
Yeah. I mean, that's
you
not
guys don't either, so.
No, the bottom line is, right, so the planning board, they review and make recommendations, but yeah. what their worst nightmare would be is that there's some stormwater problem out there, and then, of course, right. you're going to hear about it, but
right.
they don't want to hear about it.
Of course.
Sure.
No, and as I said, we're still going through the county planning board review process. We're going through the soil conservation district review process. So there are other outside agencies reviewing the project mm-hmm. for stormwater. And I will, reconsult with the DEP on that matter.
So you've gone to the planning board at the county already?
Yes.
But they didn't raise these?
We already have conditional approval.
What are the conditions?
Okay, what are the
to conditions? Provide a copy of a digital geodetic survey on disk showing the corners of the property disturbance.
So they didn't bring this up. No. So when you say you're going through the county planning board, it doesn't give me much...
Well, we were approved. We have conditional approval.
Okay, I have a copy of the conditional approval. So, when you guys are deciding an application for development, right, and you're granting a preliminary and/or final site plan approval, one of your conditions is an unconditional approval to construct from the county. Mm-hmm. Now, they have a conditional approval that says it's dated September 7th. It's addressed to Denise, and it says. The above-referenced application was reviewed by the Development Review Committee of the Hunter County Planning Board on September 1 and was granted conditional approval to construct. It's not unconditional. Mm-hmm. Subject to the following condition. And what he just said is exactly what it says, okay? A disc shall be submitted, blah, 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 blah. Then there's the next sentence, which is not a condition, but it says the applicant should consider the addition of electronic vehicle supply service equipment and make-ready parking spaces for the municipal electric vehicle ordinance that went into effect last summer. So that was going to be
right.
Larry's next question.
Of course. And that's, I think the superintendent might be able to respond to that, but I think it comes down to the project budget. Okay.
Put it this way. If this was a site plan application, under state law, the board
I understand.
Had no choice. But to impose a condition that
would
be required. That the board is under no such
correct.
Obligation with this review and recommendation.
Yeah. I think
we make a recommendation.
I understand, but why don't you hear from the superintendent?
That's any site applicant you say.
Moving a little bit, just it's related, but
yeah.
Help me square parking and traffic.
Yeah, circulation is definitely
600
right.
kids with reducing vehicular impervious.
Okay. So
a quick question just to tee that up. If you have 56 parking spaces in the new lot, 10 spaces around the building, another 5 spaces around the building, and another 5 spaces around the building. That makes 76 total spaces. Are those in addition to what's already there, or are they replacing any that are there? Are any getting eliminated?
Yeah, the existing parking lot that's beneath the building, that reduction in parking, vehicular parking surface is being eliminated.
So how many spaces are being taken away?
I believe there was about 85 or 86 spaces there.
So if 85 spaces are eliminated and 76 spaces are being proposed, can you explain to them how that's going to work with how many,
sure,
kids and teachers and administrators are on these sites?
If you've been to the school property recently, you take a look at that parking lot during a regular day. It's empty. There's not a lot of cars parked there. And right now, the maintenance group was using some of those parking spaces for their trucks, where they park some of their vehicles.
In that lot,
right. So it was fenced off, and there was some larger parking spaces. The agreement that the vocational school district has with the North Hunterdon High School district is that they're going to utilize other areas within the property for staging those vehicles. They're going to have to utilize the maintenance building that they have practically. Right now they're looking at cleaning up the building, making some areas inside the building more accessible. But right now that area that we have as a project site was dedicated for the vocational school district for their faculty parking, okay? And what they're proposing to do, and the superintendent explained to me, is that all the students will be brought in by bus. There's no one that's being driven by car or anything else. They're being driven by bus. Parents may drop them off, but at the top.
And heading north could break the cars or not?
Seniors can drive.
Right. Right. Yeah, I thought it was the seniors get it, the juniors in water, but I don't really know the rules. I don't.
That's what Costco's lots for.
Is there a component of the curriculum where, let's say the last 2 years they are work study, where they're going to have to bring a vehicle?
In the senior year, there is an option.
It's called work-based learning. And those students can go out for internships or cooperative work experiences, pre-apprenticeships, and so forth. The other ways it can be done through, like, job shadowing. It can be done through field trips. There's a number of different ways. They don't all have to have a car to get there. Or they could also use public transportation if that was available nearby as well. Some use Ubers to get to and from, work, things like that. But it, they come in through North Main entrance off of 31, and they come down around the circle, and then they come out. Actually, there's a road here above the tennis courts, and they exit there. But they're not really coming in here. They're going to be using the buses from north, and their bus, the buses aren't coming in here.
While we're on the subject of circulations, I think that's key to that a little bit, but that is a problem right now, basically. Two times a day, the intersection of Regional Road 31 and that front entrance with parents picking up and dropping off is kind of a mess. I think the question then was, would this exacerbate that, or I guess if you're opening up that new driveway, right? That's how the buses are entering.
The buses come in off of 31.
That's currently closed off right now, right?
Yeah, this is closed off.
So that's going to be a new.
This is going to be just for in and out of here for our staff.
Okay, and then I thought this was the case at Central. I might be wrong. Is the school day staggered a little bit, so it's not everybody starting at 7:20, both VOTEC and North? Because I thought at Central that
Well, then we only start later because we're share time, and they have to go to their Sunday district first and then get bused down.
Right.
That's the only reason that happens.
Okay.
I would love for them to start at the same time.
Right. But if it starts a little later, and that reduces some of the conflict between...
It can, yes.
The circulation.
But even adding the number of students we're talking about, we will not be above what North Hunterdon originally was approved for back in the day.
Enrollment's down.
Yeah, enrollment's down.
Well, for now, it's down.
Yeah.
So, if I could just recap what I think you said. No buses will arrive at, I'll call this the sub-campus, the Votech campus.
Yeah, the buses are not coming in here.
But what would arrive is the number of staff, which would be how many?
Staff would come in here.
Now, how big is staff of Votech?
For here, it's only about 12.
Yeah, so we're not talking about scats. And then any of the kids that speak in to park there, or did they park parking there?
No, if they were given a spot, you know, okay, so if the staff all parked right here.
Right,
here,
right.
But, yep. There would be these that we could have
that
park at.
Is that the problem?
If they were the seniors going out for
right.
a cup, but they happen to have that.
Yeah, but is that the intent, though?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so.
Yeah. And up here in the upper student parking lot,
yeah.
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 This is
it's funny because certain years they're very full and overfills on these
streets. My there was
so it comes and goes with that involvement. I mean, that's a state of mind. I guess that's a little bit of the rub, I would say, that as John mentioned, the traffic there can be abysmal. And adding essentially a new entrance and exit there, it's already hard enough to turn in and out with the primary exit and entrance in North coming out on Regional. Adding additional traffic, it's I got to admit, it's concerning.
Well, most of the staff.
Mm-hmm.
So the staff coming in for after that. Mm-hmm. And then the students, if they're going out, they're going to be going out before the others because they're going to work. But they're not leaving right from school.
Mm-hmm.
They're leaving in lieu of. And they might be leaving at right from school to go out to work. So I don't envision a lot of
people.
Raise a question about pedestrian circulation. So I'm trying to understand the relationship between the main campus where the proposed students at the proposed redevelopment are going to be doing part of their time in correlation with North and how they get safely from that part of the existing North campus to this area.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm going to walk right up here. There's a stairwell. And then there's a walkway right up here along the
so we took away. This is for maintenance vehicles only, this drive, so it won't be utilized unless there's a maintenance vehicle only, no through traffic there. So they could walk up the walkway and cut across to the sidewalk and go right up to the school.
Okay, and there's, I understand that we need to just accommodate any folks with disabilities. I know that people working in trades tend to not be in that circumstance, but for the sake of that safe walkway path, is that ADA compliant?
It's not. I think at that point they would have to take a vehicle up to the top of the hill because it's very steep.
And Mark Hunter has said that they, on bad weather days and if they're bus as steep as like that, they would do a bus down around, pick them up. And
like a van?
Or a van.
Okay. And if they park up in the lot,
right.
Where they wouldn't come down along Regional, they would go across and
they would come right. They would come through here and down, and this is the main artery.
I mean, that does just make it more like Central. Central, you have the 912 building, you have whatever, 910, 112, and then you have Votech right across the parking lot. Right. Well, so students do walk between
constantly.
Yeah,
because if they did decide to walk down Regional to save some time, that's actually not the safest road in town.
I think that's all.
No, I mean, that's a big problem.
If they ever go down Regional Road, that would
yeah.
be
long. Yeah. Well, unless you're parking the fire in the parking lot.
True.
So it depends where you're, what time you arrive and all of that. Because it is a bit of concern outside of the sidewalk going to nowhere. It ends at Regional Road mm-hmm. and then goes
right.
to nowhere. So it kind of begs the question to me, is, well, should that have been extended up or gone a little farther?
I'm just curious.
I don't think it changed much. I don't know what that. It's a sidewalk to nowhere.
You know, I went out there during the day. You see kids doing running, you know, for track and field and whatnot. It gives them a pathway to get up to the top of the site rather than walking on the roadway.
Yeah, and then across the road with no crosswalk.
Sorry, I'm curious what the legal requirements are for providing ADA compliant entry. I mean, I've been in a wheelchair for 2 years of my life, and I'm fine. I'm a working construction class individual now.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the legal like zoning requirements for providing that accommodation.
It's not
ADA.
A zoning requirement. It's so,
ADA.
Yeah.
ADA requirement.
Right.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, the building is ADA accessible. There's ADA parking spaces at the front. Mm-hmm. There's a handicap ramp, and the front entrance is ADA accessible.
Service of shared
right. Right. The issue is right. The issue is if you have a disabled student
right.
who's in a wheelchair.
It's too far for them to wheelchair. I wouldn't even if it was flat, I think it would be too far for them
that's
to get.
That's going
to
be between them
right.
and the ADA. But on the topic of this pedestrian circulation, Tom Behrens, under item 3 on page 3 in his memo, also says the board should consider requesting a sidewalk to be installed along the entrance driveway to the vocational school to provide connectivity to regional roads. Can you address
that? And yeah, to that, I did review that comment. I believe what he was suggesting is what we're actually proposing, because we do have a sidewalk from the front entrance to along the entrance drive to regional road.
Right. Tom. Right.
So by the request of the planner, we're actually providing that.
Do you see on C-102 that you have there, we can see it plain as day, because the sidewalk is gray, the drywalk is purple, the grass is green, and the new building's yellow. Can you see a sidewalk there, and is that
it's on the left-hand side.
I do, so that seems to at least partially address the comment. The comment came up earlier, and I guess the idea was that students would be able to get directly to Regional Road for perhaps pickups or drop-offs, so it would seem to provide that function. I mean, it does kind of dead-end there, so I don't know if there's any opportunity.
That would actually be bad.
Or if it just needs to end there, I guess.
We don't want students to be dropped off of Regional Road. There's already a mess. It's a no-stopping.
What Bill Glazer is saying is, at least he doesn't want, and I would imagine the planning board doesn't want,
I think the ordinance against it.
On a regional road,
yeah.
And they might recommend that that sidewalk be removed, but that's up to them.
I like the sidewalk.
Right.
I would like the sidewalk going up, but that's a different, I don't know whether leaving it in out does anything different right now, because they can't
right.
stop it.
Well, they really can't. It's sort of impossible. It's the bottom of a hill, and there's buses going back and forth and cars. It's not a wide.
So now we know why Tom Behrens was suggesting it. What was the reasoning between you guys putting it in before you knew he was suggesting it?
Again, it's a school. It's anything you can do to get children off the pavement onto a safe edge. You know, most often I went out there during the day. I saw children walking across the road and cutting across. So I figured they're already doing it because they were going jogging. I guess they're running.
Open space the cross country did years ago.
So I figured it's a safer means of them getting up the hill rather than walking.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I mean that does improve that because right now they're walking through that.
What you're saying is the way they propose it looks good to you. You don't want it extended, and that's the same thing that Kevin's saying.
I would like it extended, actually, in the perfect world. I would like a sidewalk or the parking lot in the perfect world. I would. I wouldn't want kids dropping themselves and being picked up or dropped off on regional. I'd want that prohibited.
Okay. We're just giving you recommendations from what we've seen.
Right, but what's the recommendation on this?
I think that's the question is, do we recommend you run a sidewalk up so it closes the loop up to the main drive, if you will, or do we just say leave it as is? I don't think it makes sense to take it out because kids get out. So that's the question. Is it just a recommendation that they do what they want, but we, you know, to fulfill our roles? What do you guys think?
I think it should be as well.
But saying it should be considered is not a recommendation.
Well, I think that's
a recommendation is either leave it like they have it, or
we recommend the sidewalk up to the
it be extended, or offer the case for them to propose additional options that meet the same concerns that we just discussed. I mean, there's different ways to lay it out, right? We're starting on an
option. Yeah. I mean, again, it's a recommendation.
Right.
I haven't heard from John.
I concur.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Recommend the proposed sidewalk be extended. Extended to where?
up to the main driveway that goes into the main parking lot.
I guess I'd call it the west side of the tennis courts.
Right?
That sort of thing.
Yeah,
the tennis
south side.
Right,
or
south, I guess south west side.
There's going to be a joint effort on this one.
Yeah, can you... Would you be able to show me on the map? Because I'm a little...
Oh, that's a good idea. Can you draw in what they recommended? Not that it's your proposal.
Is this what they're thinking?
Look at Tom's satellite picture.
Yeah.
It's right there. You see where the main entrance is. The driveway entrance where the students and the buses go in and out of. The students, my kids went there. Grade school, everything's... You see right what we're talking about.
Easy for you to say, I'm looking at the things... I have no idea.
Yes, they're driving by that day.
And Denise doesn't either. And we have to write this.
Yeah, we deliver.
And it's pretty clear. This is where their driveway is coming out now, right here.
Okay.
And we're suggesting the sidewalk go up to here.
Aha.
And that's the main road. So now if the kids park up here, which they do, like John said, the late kids park at the end. They could always walk down that sidewalk.
Now I
know. Okay, so Denise. The planning board is recommending that the proposed sidewalk be extended up to the main driveway next to the tennis court.
Or the entry to the parking lot, really. Yeah, it's the main.
The main regional road entrance.
Main regional road entrance, fair. Yeah.
Got it.
Kids on their cell phones. See how distracted. I
went
to the sidewalk.
The main driveway next to the main regional road entrance.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm concluded pretty much everything that I had to go over. Unless you guys had any other questions.
Could I ask a few that I think are a lot more you than the architect, but fencing, I think there was a question on fencing. Would that be you or the architect?
That site, to me.
There's the only fencing that's proposed is around the refuse enclosure and at the top of the retaining wall. There'll be fencing proposed. It's actually detailed on the architectural drawings.
I guess so, you know, so Tom Barron's comment on page 4, item 6, fencing. The existing chain link fence and gate along the regional road frontage are not shown on the plans. Is this intentional?
So we have it shown.
It is our understanding that school and sporting events currently rely on this gate to facilitate safe and efficient traffic through the site during such events.
So the fence is still is shown here on the survey. So if that's what he's referring to along regional road, that fence is going to remain along those athletic fields. It's not going to be removed. So everything from the pump station all the way up to Route 31 will remain as is.
What about that parking lot during sporting events that we have?
Yes, I do. That was a comment that came up, but I do see the line that denotes what appears to be the existing fence. Although it does appear to terminate at a certain point.
I think that's just because of the sheet cuts off.
Fence further east.
The school district had performed a partial survey of the project site, and they went beyond that. So the entire property isn't surveyed. So some of those existing conditions, maybe in the far distances, don't show or appear. But the improvements are immediate within the project area.
Okay. So the bottom line is that the existing chain link fence along Regional Road will remain, including the gate. So
yes. The just everything from the pump station to Route 31, the front entrance gates that are there now will be removed to the driveway.
Yeah, there is a gate that goes along that area right now.
There's another gate down. I thought that's what he was referring to.
The fence goes along that
way. Right. I thought he was referring to the gate down by the athletic fields. That gate will stay.
I guess the comment that was brought to my attention was more or less being able to control the access during events. Certainly the board members are more familiar with the site than I am, so... Right. The question, I guess, is will there be a gate there at all, whether it's the current gate or a future gate? Will there be a gate there to serve the same purpose?
In other words, he's saying if you remove the gate, then that would be in front of the new entrance drive, and you don't put a gate there, that anyone could come and go through there during sporting events or whatever. Mm-hmm. And see, his question is that intentional
or do you want to do something about that?
I know for one of the
right, but for emergency vehicles, you have a knock box on all gates. Fire department, police department, they have access to the knock box. The knock box either has a combination or a key to open the gate so they can get through it, but it keeps out the people that you don't want to have going through it.
So let me recap. So the fence that currently exists from that tennis court down to the road is removed in front of the new BOTEC building.
Yes. Right to the entrance driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So the board should decide whether you want to recommend that be fenced with a gate on the driveway or not. I mean, I would
recommend giving it an option. I mean, if we have to, let's say, worst case scenario, I don't really like the type of curriculum that's going on by chemicals.
But it's not for these guys.
Right.
It's not for.
That's almost why I'm a little. The other problem you're going to have is the driveway, so you have to do something during an event if you want to control it. So I don't know if people want to go down that mess.
You might want to just ignore it and leave that up to the reporter and maybe they want to put a barricade with police. I don't know.
Right.
Football might be.
Right.
But it's going to be there.
So you guys, listen.
It's
only if you want to make a recommendation. You can just ignore it. Let someone put the question up, you can ignore it. Let it be there.
I haven't heard a good reason why it's being removed, but I have heard a good reason why it's there, but it's sort of third-hand. I don't know what high school is. I guess I'd like the recommendation I have is they need to coordinate how this subcampus can operate during sporting events.
And response.
So that does become a township issue because traffic, it's a nightmare over there. That's not resolved. That's a problem for the township.
Well,
the whole municipality.
You mean that recommendation coordinate how coordinate how the BOTEC campus will operate with the main campus during sporting
and special events. Because graduation.
Right, graduation is football games.
You got to kind of be there to believe it. It's just, you bet. I mean, there are cars every which way and kids running every which way. And, they're all over, exactly. I mean, it's sort of interesting if that game of overflow parking, maybe that's a good thing, but I'm not sure that's what you guys want. So that's why you need to work it out. It's fine, but again, we get to the traffic issue. Now we've got two exits coming out of the door in an area that's sort of congested on a curve. I'm going to push back and say that might not survive.
I just don't
know that that's the most.
Yeah, the recommendation in writing would be for North Ironman High School and BOTEC proposed site to confirm in joint alignment in writing, and that is the recommendation on how we're going to handle the traffic control for special events.
The coordinating in writing how vocational campus will operate with the main North Ironman High School campus during sporting events, graduation, and other special events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But joint alignment being the most important part. I want to make sure that this doesn't become a he said, she said.
Okay. I'm going to suggest one other addition that I could. I brought some consultation with the local police department. Because the chief is the one that the chief, these guys are the ones that deal with these traffic nightmares.
And I have filed to the fire chiefs and the police chief.
Yeah, well, that's for emergency access. I don't know if they realized that this was changing during sporting events because there's already a bit of a mess up there. And there's other events they have on weekends. They're great events. I like the events. I don't like what it does to the locals.
Okay.
Landscaping is for the architect.
Answer questions?
So I guess I am a little bit concerned. I mean, in a normal application, we're big about buffering and setbacks. The way this is sited, this is up already about, I'm going to say, 5 to 10 feet up above the road. Roughly tall building, which we'll come back to later. I'm worried that there's no buffering along regional road, and what that does sort of the entranceway to the campus. Is there a thought process behind that?
Well, the building itself is going to be detailed by the architect, but there's a lot of architectural elements to the building that he's proposing that are going to, you know, enhance the aesthetics to the from the view. Compared to what's out there right now, I'd like to give him credit for designing a beautiful building. And what we've done is we've taken into consideration screening things as needed. We have a transformer that we're going to be screening at the front. We also have, like I said before, the trees for shade tree.
But the shade trees on the side. I'm
the front of the Long Regional. We haven't gone above and beyond with a lot of facade plantings and all that, again, because we're on a tight financial budget for the project. We did incorporate plantings where we felt it was a necessity and other areas where we felt it made sense. And we've also spoken with the facilities manager in the school for high school, for the North Hunter High School, and a lot of plantings and things become a lot of maintenance for them. And he was very concerned about the maintenance of the property and having excessive amounts of things for him to prune and cut.
So that would become a maintenance issue for more?
Yes.
So you guys have ground lease. They're responsible for the ground.
So we were taking all these things into consideration around the budget, talking about maintenance. But what things that I saw in the report also about the river stone and some of the areas where we do have stone, one of the things I wanted to just put on the record or explain is the reason why we have this stone here, we have a safety netting fence for the softball field proposed along this side. And between the safety netting and the parking lot, there would be a small area of grass. We're proposing drainage in that area because there's a lot of area that sheet flows across the property that has to be bisected because the parking lot's proposed. So in this area, to cut off the drainage, to alleviate issues with lawnmowers sinking into the ground, we proposed some river stone there. So that's where the 2 to 3 inch Delaware. And those will be within the drainage inlets and around them to dissipate flow and allow water to go into the drainage system. Also, lower maintenance. The other reason for that is for snow plowing. One of the things that the maintenance and facilities grounds were asking us, where are we plowing snow? So they could push the snow off the edge of the parking lot into these gravel, these stone areas, and allow it to dissipate, and it's not in an area where they have lawn and whatnot. In and around between the retaining walls, I don't know if I explained to you, but these are retaining walls. Mm-hmm. Again, low maintenance. There's some areas with stone. We put plantings where we felt, you know, we could put them. There is a landscaping plan. I don't believe that may have been the schedule may have been included in the submission documents, but I do have a planting schedule with all the different types of plants that we're proposing, and there's an assortment of plants that we can provide, you know, if you're interested in seeing them. But there's different perennials and shrubs and whatnot in and around these areas where these landscape beds are shown at the front and around the flagpole and in these areas of the islands and parking lot and along the front there. So there's plants proposed. I don't know if you had the benefit of seeing the schedule.
We did not.
Yeah, we did not.
No, the submission was quite limited. Not to push back, but only push back. I would say every applicant that's ever come before the planning board or been here has said they don't want to landscaping for cost purposes, so I'm unimpressed.
Okay.
I have to say I'm unimpressed. I get it. I'm just not sure it's fair to the host municipality, Clinton Township, to have a big building relatively close to the road with no buffering whatsoever. So,
consideration.
Give you an answer.
Well, we can add.
In Reddington, the planning board heard a capital review from the township, okay?
From themselves, basically.
Yeah. The township of Reddington,
right.
Site plan, but capital review, because it was immune from site plan approval. And the planning board told the township committee, if you're a private developer, we would want the same screening. The township should set an example. If the planning board of the township is asking private developers to put screening, the township would set an example by providing the same type of screening. That's up to you. What do you want to make a recommendation?
That's where I am. I'm willing to listen to the architect to talk about the architectural features and why it might not be necessary. But I'll be honest with you, it's troublesome to me. Because, you know, there are people that travel on Regional Road. It's an access point to a large part of the township. I feel like we're just accepting something we would never accept from another applicant.
Why don't we wait?
There's
some questions on that, too.
When you see the elevations and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Okay.
I appreciate the feedback.
I think that would expect it. I mean, it's nothing shocking.
I want to balance between public benefit.
I understand.
And we end up, so.
Thank you.
So, I guess with no further ado,
let's
go with the
architect. Again, thank you so much for your questions. You. Appreciate it. I'll introduce Mr. Kevin Settenberg now.
Can you spell your last
name? Sure. Good evening. My name is Kevin Settembrino with Settembrino Architects. The spelling is Settembrino. Just for administration, we do have four exhibits here, and I'll mark them.
So you have A12, A15, and what else?
We have A112, A115, A201, and A202.
Okay, so we're up to A2, so let's make A112, A3, and then A3, A4, A5, and A6. Okay, on the back, A number and the date. And again, we're going to hold these hostage in a hostage exchange, and you give us the color rendered foldables.
A3, right?
Yeah. A3 is color rendered A12. A4 is color rendered A115. A5 is color rendered what? A201? Yes? A5.
A5 is A201.
And what's A6?
A6 is A202.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Good evening, members of the board, Mr. Chairman. So this evening we're going to present the architecture of the building that has been introduced in with regard to the site and how we've addressed the site and the building. And what I'm going to do as we speak toward the building and the plan, we're going to leave this 3D model with you. You're going to move this around, so I want you to see what I'm talking about. Right? Easy to do, right? Okay.
So let's have a 3D model of the A7, and we get to keep this?
What's that?
We're keeping this?
There's a $500,000 deposit for that.
But we're not marking it. This is the modest kind of exhibit.
So I want you to certainly pass that around as we talk about the plans and the elevations and the design of the building and how it addresses the topography of the site. We can certainly do that as well for you. All right. This building is approximately 35,000 square feet, just in terms of the overall building, about 35,000 square feet. It's two floors. It's a slab-on-grade structure. It is 2B construction. It is fully sprinklered. It does have many double-height spaces in it for all of the labs, like HVAC, electric, diesel technology.
Sorry for the record. Sure. You stated 35,000. Is it 25,436 square foot footprint as recorded in the meeting minutes, or is it 35,000?
I'm talking about the total area of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it is two stories, mm-hmm. and so I'm just talking about the total area of the building.
Well, so if the footprint is 25,440, the total floor area is what?
That's right. That's the total area, correct?
35,000 what?
Mm-hmm. So about 35-1, total area.
Right. Total area or total floor area?
Total gross area.
Okay, total gross area.
Yeah, not net gross. I'd like to build net, it'd be cheaper.
Yeah.
Right? So again, 2B construction, which is non-combustible construction. It is a steel frame with masonry infill. The roofs are a combination of low-slope, multi-ply built-up roofs and a... Sure. Let me take a step back then, right? So would you like me to start again with regard to the building itself?
If you could.
Sure.
Thank you.
She does the minutes.
Not a problem.
I'm just taking notes to make sure that
we sure.
got the conditions or the recommendations.
No, not a problem. I was just trying to give you a couple of minutes with regards to the overall building before I get into the plan. Okay. So far you have the building is approximately 35,000 square feet. Gross total area. The building is sure.
You have that north up?
North. Yeah, that'll be fine. You can spin that around, yep. You can take a look at the...
The orientation.
This is...
Yeah.
Well, that's the site plan. This is the orientation of our plan. We can spin this around, but the text would be upside down. You'd have to stand on your head. Here's the orientation of the site. This arrow, Katie. The north arrow.
You go the other way.
Yeah, we'll change that. That's not a problem.
Sure.
Yeah. Now I was going to go over the orientation in a moment.
Okay.
Right. So let me get back to the building envelope. The building again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure.
You
got 35,000 square feet. Is a two-story slab-on-grade building. It is 2B construction, which means it's non-combustible construction, steel frame, masonry infill. The exterior of the building is predominantly masonry veneer. The roofs are a combination of flat roofs, which are low-slope, multi-ply built-up roofs, and a combination of and standing seam metal roofs as well. Okay. So that just gives you an overview of the whole building. So when you have a limited budget at $25 million and you can't go above that, you have to design the building as efficiently as possible. So how do you do that? What we have here is the first floor of the building, and just to orient you, from left to right on the top of the screen is Regional Road. So it would be opposite of what you see there on the site plan. And the tent, yeah?
I don't care what you
think.
Take the site plan and scoop it over.
Sure, we can do that.
Yeah, but he's doing the architecturals and all the writing is this way. He's right about that.
Yeah.
So now okay, now it's apples to apples.
Yeah.
All right. Works out better?
Yep.
Okay, good. So to the... left and right, top of the plan is Regional Road. To the rear of the building here is the tennis courts and then the administration of buildings here. So just to orient you with regard to the floor plan versus the site plan that you see here. Okay. So again, this is the first floor of the building. The spaces that we have in green are all double height spaces, so they're about 25 feet high inside the space itself, right? And they are electric, HVAC, welding, advanced technology, and diesel technology. It also contains a culinary arts center as well, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more extensively. That's a little bit of the jewel of the facility, and you'll see that in part of our elevations and the plan itself. What we have in yellow is the administration area. That's the one-story office when you enter the building. And what we have in blue is the circulation. Stair here, elevator assembly here, and all the support spaces, the mechanical spaces, and toilet room, so forth, are in
the... In the blue area between the stairs, that's all Carter, correct?
This is Carter, correct. So the blue area is Carter. It's referred to as a double-loaded Carter. When we try to design buildings as efficiently as possible, we're going to go with a double-loaded Carter geometry, right? And what that does is that essentially allows us to get into all the spaces with one Carter and not kind of double-build any area, right? So this is a fairly – so the parquet or the layout of the building is fairly straightforward, double-loaded corridor, educational spaces on both sides, administration at the front of the building, and stairs on each side of the building along with an elevator assembly as well. pretty straightforward. What's important to understand about the first floor, and again, all the educational spaces that the superintendent mentioned and I just reiterated are all in green. They're all double height spaces. They're all about 25 feet tall. So we do that for two reasons. One is based on the program. You'll need an extended height for the educational program that's here. And secondly, more importantly, it has a visual link to the second floor classroom. So before I move on to the second floor plan, any questions on the first floor plan? Okay.
Fix the north arrow on each one.
We're going to fix them on each one for you. Okay. So second floor plan, we talked about the double height spaces, and you'll see all the spaces that have an X on them that don't have color on them are all spaces that go through the second floor. And what does that mean? All these purple spaces now are classrooms, and the classrooms are for culinary. They're for electric. They're for HVAC. They're for diesel. And those classrooms are within that 25-foot space so that you can be in the classroom and you can look over. You can look over the educational space. Well, it's really not a mezzanine. Mezzanine is an open to below. It's really not classified as mezzanine. It is a
the only way you get to it is from the staircase in the corridor. You can't get there internally.
Well, you can. You can actually. So this is a fully enclosed second floor. So similarly, the blue is the double-loaded corridor in the center. The purple spaces are the classrooms that are, when I say they're open to the lab spaces, they are visually open, but they're not open spaces. So there are windows. There are windows, right? So it is a fully enclosed second floor. However, from one lab space to the purple classroom spaces, there are what we're referring to as communication stairs. What that means is that you can walk up and down those stairs from the lab spaces up and down to that classroom. But we can still get you in and out of the building safely with regard to the two egress stairs on the corner. So it is a fully independent second floor, but it has visual. Each of those classrooms has visual access to the lab spaces, so that you can be teaching. You can be in the classroom. You can see what's going on in the lab. You'll have acoustic privacy between the teaching space in the lab and the teaching space in the classroom. But you'll have that visual connection between both. And that was really how we began to design this building in terms of how the classroom spaces had connectivity right to the lab spaces, right? This similarly, the culinary space, although it does have a classroom that can see on the culinary is a double height space. And culinary does have, you see this blue space that does look over onto culinary. So it is open. So this is the only area on the second floor that is open to the culinary space. So we kind of want you to see culinary when you walk in. We want you to see on the second floor. Hopefully we want you to experience what culinary is doing a little bit more than diesel technology, right? Right.
Oh,
so
it's really open.
Yes. So when we talk about windows, we talk about the classroom spaces. So from the classroom environment to the lab spaces, they are all enclosed, meaning there'll be windows from those classroom spaces to the lab spaces. However, on the second floor, when we talk about the corridor, this corridor has an open area that is open to below for culinary only, right? So it does, that's right, it does overlook culinary. So on the second floor, you can get all the experience from culinary on the second floor and on the first floor. And again, we kind of want to make that a little bit more of the jewel of the facility so you can kind of look over, see what's going on. There are six cooking stations, all with Ansel Hoods, one teacher station as well. And again, we do have approval by the Department of Health for the layout as well.
Just to confirm for the record, diesel combustion in the workspace is not next to
the. No, diesel technology is here, and culinary is here. But that's a good comment. But let me add to that a little bit. When we did this facility, it's important that we understood the acoustics, not only that we have acoustic separation from space to space, but acoustic separation from floor to floor. So one of our consultants is Lewis Goodfriend and Associates. And we did hire them to do an acoustic analysis of each one of the spaces. So there will be no acoustics that will transfer from space to space, and no acoustics that will transfer from floor to floor. Right?
Lewis Goodfriend, excellent acoustical engineer.
He's the only guy in town. Right. So we did go through that. We did go through that as well. And that was important to do for these large spaces. So all the acoustics in the spaces are handled with a combination of acoustic block and felt panels that will absorb those sounds. Right. So those are the interior spaces. And here are the toilet rooms. And here are just some IT rooms and some offices as well. But again, double-loaded corridor, classrooms on each side. Classrooms overlook the lab spaces on the lower level.
What are the two grounds?
Oh, those are secret areas. So the brown areas, those are the roofs below. That's all. Correct. Those are the shed roofs below. So. So when I take a minute to go through this to tell you what I just described, I'm going to orient it in this fashion. Right? There you go. So the culinary space is a space that kind of, it has a sloping metal roof. Mm-hmm. And, hey, Katie, can you come over here a minute? Just hold on to that. Thank you. So the culinary space has the sloping roof here, right? That, right? It slopes from a high point down to a low point. Mm-hmm. The welding and the diesel. Is it diesel? No. The welding and the advanced manufacturing are these two blocks here. Mm-hmm. The diesel is here. The electric is back here. And the culinary is underneath here. This is that central loaded corridor that you said. So if you have an opportunity to pass that around, you'll see that with regard to the architecture, what we've done is, although it would have been very easy to make this into one big massive building, we tried to break it up into smaller blocks. To your point, when you approach it, you don't want to see a big, massive building. If you're looking at a larger building and you're lower in elevation, it's going to look even bigger. So what we tried to do specifically in terms of architecture with regard to this project is we took this roof here and we made sure that roof sloped down. It's about 25 feet, about 25 to 15, about 30 to 15. About 32 feet down to 15 feet. So what was important is that we took some architectural elements and kind of sloped them down to visually reduce the visual height of what you see when you're looking up toward the building. And that was very important. And the majority of the mechanical equipment is on the flat roofs. That's partially screened by the parapet, so you don't see your mechanical equipment isn't that visible. So and then the corridor kind of pops up here. Right in the center.
The mechanicals would be on which side? That one. You going to do that now or later?
Yeah.
Is this mechanical?
So there's some mechanical equipment that sits on here,
All the flatters.
Yeah, they took them all from
okay.
Here, here, and here. And there's some mechanical equipment that sits here as well for the kitchen. I couldn't get around that.
So I don't see that when I... Do I not see that on this?
Anything for a mechanic? We didn't give you, I don't think we gave you a roof plan, right?
This, no. This on the elevation. 202.
Yeah. So let me get to the elevations. Okay, so A201. So to your point, we have not shown any of the mechanical equipment, and the flat areas that I was speaking of is this area here, and this area towards the rear of the building. The mechanical equipment part will be partially blocked by some of the parapet walls on the flat roof. So when you look at this model,
how high are the parapet walls, and how high are the HVAC?
Yeah, I don't know that I have that information at the moment. Any recollection on that, Katie? The parapet heights?
Are the parapets higher than 3 feet?
In some areas, the ones that are.
Just the flat ones.
I'll make it easy. I'm focused on the external view. Whatever the view internal to north is, I'll say I don't really have an issue with that. But I'm on Regional Road, and the community is looking.
Yep.
What do they see for the mechanicals on the roof?
So predominantly, if you're on the Regional Road elevation and you're looking up,
Let's get that sheet out. It might be 202.
You want the plan?
Well, the elevation from the view from Regional Road. Is that on A201?
A201. Mm-hmm. South of A201 right here.
Okay.
Okay. So what the chair is asking is, the mechanicals are going to be on the, I guess, the brim?
There's some mechanical equipment on this roof for the culinary. There's mechanical equipment on this roof and this roof as well, similarly on this roof.
Are they screened, or are you just going to see the units up there?
The units will be up on the roof. There's no screening at the moment. The parapets do partially cover the...
No, but again, so how high are the parapets and how high are the mechanicals?
The parapets range anywhere from 3 to 4 feet or so on average, but the mechanical...
probably range from 3 to 5 or something.
Yeah, the mechanical units will exceed the height of the parapets. So it was our intent to partially block the mechanical units, not to fully block them. And those only go up on the flat roofs. So
does the parapet block the ones that are already facing the region above? The parapet's behind them.
So funny thing about elevations, right? So now if you're down on Regional Road, and our civil engineer just described a substantive height variance. Brent, where'd he go? He's hiding. The height variance from Regional Road to maybe the start of the school.
Got it.
Right, so about 18 feet. So if you're passing by on Regional Road, mm-hmm. unless you're a giraffe, it's going to be tough to see the mechanical equipment on
the house across the street.
On the roof. You'd have to be at a similar elevation, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're on Regional Road and you're looking up at the school,
the angle that
you're looking at the school with, if you're at a lower elevation, that's substantive to the height, right? It's substantive to this height. So just imagine an angle going up low, right, and hitting that. You're going to be hard-pressed to see any of the mechanical equipment just from that angle.
Okay.
So although the parapet walls are anywhere from 3 to 4 feet, they don't fully screen the mechanical equipment, but you're never going to be standing – you're never going to have a scenario where you're looking straight on the facility, right?
The color of the mechanical equipment versus the parapet.
The mechanical equipment is really not colored. I suspect it's a –
it should stand out more. It's like the silver, normal silver.
Yeah,
it's just black. I think the roof is black.
Yeah, the roofs – we'll talk about colors in a moment, but these colors are a fairly good rendition of the colors that we're looking to achieve. So we went over this with the superintendent, so they're similar in nature to what you're going to see. And the low-slope roofs are a white roof. They're a high SRI, or solar reflectivity index, but you won't be able to see those from the ground, right? So predominantly, the roof that you're going to see is this sloping roof that's here. When it's kind of better seen when you look at the 3D model. You could see that. You could see that sloping roof.
Yep.
Again, one thing you have to understand is that you're never seeing the school from the same elevation that we built it at. You're going to see it. Typically, you're always going to see it lower. You're always going to see it looking from low to high. And we're kind of utilizing that geometry to help with regard to screening the equipment, because you're not going to see it. And we did lay this out. And I did go through this with my project architects to make sure that there's minimal equipment that you see based on the approach to the building. But we have to put mechanical equipment on there. We couldn't avoid it. This is a technology school, so our we kind of restricted our mechanical engineers to all the flat roofs, and we gave them some of the low slope roof as well.
Yeah, I take your points. I guess it would have been nice if that those could have been shared with us a little bit more. It could be part of the fuzzy description, which is helpful. But there's really nothing like elevation showing what's going on. So it's kind of hard to visualize, which makes it super hard to say, do I got a recommendation or I don't? Because I kind of get it, and I want to believe. It's hard.
Our opinion of the geometry was our opinion of the geometry for the view was that it would be cut off if you're looking from a lower elevation to a higher elevation.
The private applicants here saying that they make them some sight lines wrong, so they can see them. That's where they're
definitely. We understand. No problem.
So without going further on, what about the noise of the equipment?
Right.
Is that going to be within state requirements? And
in other words, it's no more than 65 decibels during the day and 55 decibels at night. That's the NJDEP noise code. So will it comply with that?
The equipment should. I don't have numbers for you, but we don't have any screening or any acoustic mitigation at the rooftop units, but for those parapets.
I would think that would be a recommendation, that it complied with the state and the local noise things, and then however you would solve it, that's not my...
Nice voice here, essentially.
That's the kind of thing that the neighbors would come out and say, what happened here? Okay. So as long as we've made our point that we think it should be considered...
Mm-hmm. Within considerable operational...
Sure.
Is there adult education on this campus, or is it really normally the school days? There will be weekends and evenings. And evenings. The show's till about 9 or
9.
Okay. How many nights a week?
I believe, for the honest, I believe the New Jersey State Noise Code is NJAC 7:29-1XX.
Thank you. So I guess with regard to the equipment visibility, the general testimony is that you won't be able to see much of it because it's lower than the building.
But
if that's satisfactory enough for us, or if you want to say something more, I turn to you all.
So the ordinance, again, this is a review and recommendation. The ordinance is section 165-155.53. Generally, it's talking about landscape buffering and screening, but the last sub 17 says accessory structures and outdoor equipment, including air conditioning units, shall be appropriately screened with permanent fencing and or landscape plants. So generally, what they have a private applicant do is give them site drawings to show you're not going to see it. Then they figure no problem. Or if not,
put it some kind of decorative screen.
Mm-hmm. You beat this one to death.
Yeah.
All right.
I have no further comments.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. So let me talk a little bit about the elevations and the material that's here. Right. So. The material that we've noted here is predominantly a split face block veneer, right? That is the rough block that you see often. It's in it's concrete masonry unit split face block veneer, and we have it in multiple colors here so that we can separate culinary from the other labs. And in the elevated corridor, it is a metal rain screen panel as well. That may or may not be changing. We're not sure of that yet. The roofs, the shed or sloped roofs, so if you take a look at the model there, any of the roofs that are shed roofs or sloped roofs are standing seam metal roofs. Any of the roofs that are flat roofs shown in that model are multiply built-up roofs with a high SRI. Right. So when you take a look at the model, you can see it a little easier than you can do in the elevations. Elevations are a little skewed, right? Any of the sloped roofs, standing seam metal. Any of the flat roofs, multiply built-up roofs with a high SRI reflectivity index. The one thing to keep in mind is that the Department of Education requires that this new school comply with LEED 4.1.
Oh, you answered my question.
That's a new skill I'm trying. What's that? We've gone to DCA. DCA says, no, that's not us. That's the Department of Education. We've gone to the Department of Education. When you do new schools in New Jersey, you must comply with LEED 4.1. So we do comply with that. In fact, we've already received final approval from the Department of Education with regard to this facility. Right.
So this is one of the few areas where the Department of Education is more stringent in the county.
As far as the standing CML roof, yeah. LEED 4.1, sound attenuation, mechanical vibration isolation, and all of the noise going on in the workshops, are you working through insulation-wise for that standing CML
roof? That's a good question, right? The metal roof can be seen.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, we did hire good friends and associates. Mm-hmm. Correct. Our acoustic consultant, and they gave us acoustic recommendations for the noise not to transfer from space to space and from floor to floor. And most simply put, the way that was dealt with, in addition to the composite slab between the first floor and the second floor, it's a steel deck with concrete in the deck, and that meets the acoustic requirements for mitigation between one floor to the next. However, there needed to be acoustics contained in each one of the spaces, right?
Yeah.
Right. So there's a the containment of the acoustics in each one of those spaces is a combination of acoustic block. So acoustic concrete block, there's little slits in the block, and the noise kind of get trapped inside there, and a combination of acoustic panels that are applied to the wall. So not only do we have a combination of the two, but the report that we got from Good Friend and Associates gave us areas of each one of these items so that we would meet the sound criteria from space to space, right?
No acoustic panels up in the ceiling?
There's no acoustic panels in the ceiling. However, the roof insulation is an R30 at minimum, and that's either 6 inches, Katie, I forget, of insulation. What's that? Okay, so about 6 inches. You have 6 inches of rigid insulation on that roof, all right? So you have a metal deck. You have 6 inches of rigid insulation, which is a pretty good sound attenuator with regard to noise, right? And then you'll have the roof membrane and then the metal roof as well, all right? But again, that's been checked and double-checked with regard to Good Friend and Associates. We put the acoustics in place. We sent it back to them, and they said, yep, it works for them. So we want to make sure we meet that criteria, right? Well, the other thing that I'll tell you is part of the recommendation from our acoustic consultant was that the mechanical units inside of those big spaces, they have acoustic wraps around the units. Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
I'm not as concerned with the inside that you work on.
I got you.
And your lookout. I'm sort of coming back around to the fit on the property.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the max elevator, the height of the building, and the setback from the front? Because I want to go back to this screening concept. And that is a prominent building on Regional Road. Totally understand how it fits. What's the height?
Sorry,
you may need the engineer. Yeah.
That's okay. He's going to talk a little bit about the setbacks. I'll give you the height ranges, right? So the max range were at 40. The max range, Katie, was about 45 feet. So the top of this shed roof, the top, when you look at that plan, you'll see the corridor that comes all the way up from approximately finished floor is approximately 45 feet or so, right? The at the low point where the administration is, so you see that slope all the way down, that's about 15 feet. Okay? The back of the building that's adjacent to the tennis courts, that's about 30 feet. So the elevations, because they do range, as you can see, they have several modules in the building that change in height. So they range from a low point of about 15 feet above finished floor to about 30 feet to about 45 feet. The only thing that's 45 feet is that central corridor that kind of pops up. And we made certain that, you know, when you look at building design and trying to set back building design, we've done this so that front slopes from high to low, and it slopes, tries to match that grade. We've taken the highest point of the building. We've made it the farthest away from the street. We made it the smallest element and the farthest away from the street. And we've tried to break up the building into small modules so it doesn't seem like a massive building. So the combination of the variance from 15 feet to 30 feet to 45 feet, we've kind of done setbacks for that and kind of employed geometry with regard to shed roofs and different blocks to make that not a massive 45-foot building.
Yes, what, in your opinion, what is the maximum height limitation in the RR4S zone, and what's the setback requirement?
So, Mr. Pappy's here. Do you have the setback offhand?
But I'm looking, and maybe Tom Behrens? I know this is located in the RR4S zone, and the schedule of zoning requirements only lists the zoning requirements for one-family dwellings.
Right. So the school is a conditional permitted use in the zone. So the minimum front yard setback is 100 feet for the conditional use standard. So it's 100 feet.
Okay. What's the conditional use standard for the height?
I don't have that in front of me. I don't believe it specifies a separate height.
96. So
there's certain parameters. I don't believe height is one that stands out from the typical 35 feet to an inch.
By the way, off the top of your head, do you know the ordinance section for the conditional use school?
Yeah, I referenced it in my memo. Just give me 2 seconds.
So just getting back to your setback question, the civil engineer pointed out to me setback's about 97 feet.
Tom, 165 what?
No, I messed up. 165-125.
125. Okay. And what's the
The setback noted on the plans is about 97 and a half feet.
Just curious. Is there any way you can get to 100 feet without messing the thing up?
Just so that you understand, this is an existing building that's owned by North. Part of the lease arrangement is that we had to maintain that building in place. So that'll generate the pinch point that Mr. Pappy just mentioned.
Does any of the mechanicals exceed that 45-foot?
No, the 45-foot roof line is the top of the shed roof. Here and there are no mechanicals on top of it. No, there may I don't have it in front of me. There may be some vents. There are no exhaust. There's no mushrooms on top of that. There may be some vents, some simple pipe or stack vents. But there's no on the top of that shed roof for that Carter. There's no mechanical equipment there.
But next to it, when you have all the HVAC, where that stuff's going, it's not going to protrude above.
No, definitely not.
So here's section 165-125. These are the conditional use requirements for churches and schools. And Tom was correct. 125C says all buildings shall be located at least 100 feet from the street. 125A says no building shall exceed the height limit of its zone district. The zone district is RR4S, and the height limitation in the RR4S, I had it up here before, is 25 feet, not even 35 feet. Now, the State Board of Education that's going to be reviewing it is supposed to, under case law, look at the local regulations.
Mm-hmm. I view this as part of the going back to the park discussion about some screening or buffering in right. 22. You know,
right.
And I think this is just me speaking, but we're talking about 97 and a half, 100 is pretty close,
right? Right.
But you still have a pretty big building right there. It's a beautiful building. But it's a big building right there, mm-hmm. and it goes up high. And you've discussed all the elements and stuff that's way beyond my knowledge base. But you still come back to that's right there. And then we talk a little bit about potentially some landscape or something to break up. You would think you would make it a little more.
Yeah, I'll phrase it my way.
Hey, John, this is Larry. Yeah. The 97 and a half feet is, or 97.8 feet to the corner of the building.
Yeah.
That radius that's on the street side. They did not mention the close part of the building to the right.
Yeah, moving up to the left, it's already closer than 97 feet. Right
here? Yeah. I suspect if you look at the tangent of the radius, it may be slightly, but fairly de minimis.
Trees. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's kind of our creation for some screening and buffering because my view is I think the building's beautiful. Question that has nothing to do with the design standards we have in the township.
Yeah.
So that's a concern. I think it's almost like it's dropped in from Mars in our township, what have you.
Yeah, I just know about one thing. Yeah. The height limitation is not 25, it's 35.
35.
There's 45.
So there's 45. So it's not so there. I actually find the size facing your sports and architecture interesting because of the shed roofs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The other side I find kind of a monolith. I like the curve,
mm-hmm.
but it's been monolithic to me, so I think the trees would help break that up. Mm-hmm. Without going insane, I mean, I don't think we're pretending that we want to apply our normal buffering requirements.
Correct.
Because that would be overkill.
No, we're trying to say there's something there to break the fact that it's right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like when Chabad came in,
mm-hmm.
right? Technically, they were in one of these special architectural standard zones,
mm-hmm.
but they were proposing something, to church, even though it's a synagogue.
Right.
And the board basically said the design really nice, like this one.
Right.
And so they didn't want the landscaping to hide it. They wanted the landscaping to complement it.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes. That's perfectly phrased.
Mm-hmm.
And it was complementing the software.
Right.
Yeah.
Just to take a couple minutes to talk about the fenestration, the windows on the building, right?
Yeah.
The majority of the windows, they're aluminum and glass, but there are some portions of the elevations you're going to see that don't look blue, if you will. They look white, right? So when you look at the elevations. So all the windows, the windows in the culinary are the very large windows that you see here. With the exception of that, let me see. These windows here. Let's see if I can show it to you. Right, large windows are on culinary that wrap around here. The windows are aluminum glass windows, but when you see these white areas, it's called a product called Cowall, which is a translucent panel. So the windows are a combination of aluminum glass and cowl. What the cowl does is you can't see through it. It's a translucent panel. It lets light in.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably about 80% the cost of aluminum and glass windows. So we thought that we would try to reduce some heat gain, if you will, with regard to the cowl, get some light in the facility. And so not all the windows are all glass. So anytime you see windows where you see that whiter area, it's a combination of this translucent panel. And then the glass is the blue areas as well. So there are punched openings in the block areas here, right? And then there are floor-to-ceiling windows in culinary. Culinary is treated a little bit more special than the rest of the facility. We try to do that on purpose, right? But the windows are, again, are that combination of cowl and aluminum glass. Right?
How do you spell cowl?
It is K-A-L-W-A-L-L. It is a product. It is a manufacturer.
Right. And what is Cowall? It is a what?
It's a translucent panel. Yes, correct. Translucent window panel. Correct. So I just want to let you know that all the windows are a combination of those two items. Right. And we've done it fairly strategically. So anywhere in the building, and when you look at some of these double height spaces, you can, whether if you're in the classroom and you're looking straight through, you could see out. If you're in the lab on the ground floor and you're looking straight through, you could see out. If you're in the lab and you're a giraffe, you can't see out. Right. So we set this up so that you can always see out for any of the spaces that you're in, but not all those windows need to be clear glass.
So it's frighted open, but it's not clearly, yeah, you can't just see through.
Correct.
It's not like a curtain wall.
No, so it makes a nice design issue.
So this similarly, the corridor that pops up above the rest of the space, we have in the corridor what's referred to as clear story windows, and that is a cowl panel. So it's not clear glass. It does get the light in. So in the facility, we don't, with the exception of the administration area in the facility that has a suspended ceiling like this does, there are no ceilings in the entire facility. So it's all exposed acoustic deck. We're not painting the deck. We don't want to lose the quality. You can see all the ducts are round ducts. You can see them all. All the light fixtures are pendant lights that hang from above. Again, all the deck is an acoustic metal deck. We are not painting it specifically because we don't want to mitigate the acoustic properties of the deck. And I forgot to mention that before.
Mm-hmm.
So you will walk into this facility and you will see exposed concrete. You'll see exposed deck. You'll see exposed ductwork.
Help you with maintenance too. You don't have to repaint it if you don't paint.
all of those things, with the exception of the deck, are painted. But we wanted to try to make this as industrial as possible. And I think to quote the superintendent, it was as a rustic industrial that time. And there you go. Right. And that was that direction of the superintendent. So we wanted to make certain that we can capture that concept both outside the building and inside the building. That kind of describes some of the heights of the buildings, the material on the building, the fenestration that's here, how we've structured the design to kind of mitigate one big, massive-looking building, and to be as friendly as we can to the sloping landscape and replicate that into the geometry of the building.
Did we talk about lighting? Yeah. Lighting and the lighting of the sign and stuff like that?
No.
Do we need to, or do we just recommend that they kind of comply with our...
There are a couple houses right across the street from it.
Okay. You could say the recommendation is that the lighting complies with the order.
Right. I would say, well, we always like to make sure the lighting, because people complain and the neighbors then say, so it's just...
Right. And the lighting of the sign is not like a neon sign. It's just a light sign.
Again, just recommend, my suggestion is don't spend the time just on lighting. Don't comply with the ordinance. Go ahead and make a
the size of the sign, the same thing. Sure.
So, sign shall comply with ordinance. These are all recommendations.
Yeah.
All right. So, anything, do you want to take them? Are you okay to just summarize here or real quick?
If you want us to.
I mean, let me take the real. Does anybody have any more questions?
Let me tell you what we've written down. Okay. And you tell us if you think we missed anything. Mm-hmm. But just so you know, I said to Denise, on this one, normally on these, Denise drafts the letter, she sends it to me, I review it. She sends it. On this one, Denise's going to draft the letter, she's going to send it to me. I'm going to send it
to you guys.
Right. Okay? Because there's too much that we need to
turn it around.
We'll
turn it around.
So, recommend self-reporting to the NJDEP and the county as to stormwater management and positions. And positions as to water quantity. Recommend getting something in writing as to the reduction in water quantity. In that, the applicant's position is it doesn't have to comply with green infrastructure. Recommend proposed sidewalk be extended up to the main driveway next to the main regional road entrance. Recommend coordination in writing on how the VOTEC campus will operate with the main NHHS campus during sporting events,
in consultation with the police department,
and special events, and joint alignment, joint coordination with the police chief and the fire chief.
Perfect.
Joint coordination.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Recommend mechanical equipment to comply with the NJ State Noise Code, NJAC 7:29-1. Recommend landscaping to be added along
Regional
Road to complement and soften the buildings, not to hide them.
Right.
Recommend lighting to comply with the ordinance. Recommend signage to comply with the ordinance. You guys have anything else that I don't have, or David, do you have anything else?
Did we mention the electric vehicle? We would recommend that they have a spot or something.
Okay, recommend.
I just given where we are as a township.
Recommend EV. Recommend
get a grant for it.
In accordance with the ordinance.
Other grants for those other people in the government, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
There's grants all over the place. Or, you know.
Okay, I got the EV thing now. Kate did mention the ADA stuff, but I'm not sure where we landed on that.
They have to do that.
Kid in the wheelchair is going to have an IEP, and then the physical disability, they would have to give him a para or
our issue.
That's not our issue.
Right,
that's
not our issue. Great. That's operation. I think that's it. Yeah.
John, do you have to know anything about the conditional setback not meeting 100 feet?
No, they know about it, but we asked them, any way you can move the building? They said no.
Is that the building? Because
of the pinch point, right?
Forget about that. I mean, that goes with the height. If the maximum height is 35 feet and they're at 45, and if the minimum setback is 100 and they're at
90.
Somewhere between 95 and 97, that all goes with the landscape
approval.
And that's where the recommendation is. So they're not... My suggestion and recommendation is that there be no reference to the fact that they don't comply with the front setback or the height.
I agree.
That was Larry. Tom, you have anything else?
Nothing really at this point. I think the board captured the majority of my comments.
And then, of course, these are the recommendations. What you have to do is, this is...
That's a recommendation, but then we have to say it's not inconsistent.
Is it consistent, inconsistent, or not inconsistent with the master plan? So, Tom, you have a stuff in your report about that. What do you suggest? for me to report, it's obvious, well, I don't want to say anything's obvious, but it seems to me that it's not inconsistent with the master plan, but do you recommend that the planning board say it's consistent with the master plan or not inconsistent with the master plan?
I would say it's definitely not inconsistent with the master plan, being that the site is recognized as a school campus. I think there may be some inconsistencies with respect to character aspects of it. Not that it's not a nice building or development, but I think there may be some aspects of that that may not mesh 100% well with some of the...
But how about this? The board says that overall, yes, it's not inconsistent with the master plan. Yes.
It's the standard, which is the...
Right. Correct. And that's what they... That's basically what they need.
Right.
For the Department of Education.
However, we'd also step back in. And then we would make those recommendations just as part of our transmittal.
Yes.
Yeah.
We just got all the conditions, and we specifically mentioned
your
recommendation.
Conditions. Recommendation. And we changed the word. We made a coordination. What was it? Kate's word was
alignment.
We made a coordination. We hook you on that.
Agreed.
Okay.
All right. So with anything else? So with that, is there a motion that this is not inconsistent with all the recommendations we discussed?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. Second?
If I'm allowed to second, given his back spasm, yes. Okay. A second.
All right, we'll...
Okay, roll call, then.
Roll call.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
And Mr. Sinek?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay.
2 hours.
Thank you all.
Thank you. We are actually excited to have you here.
We are excited.
We really are.
I think
it's a great idea.
It's a great asset to the campus up there.
Yeah, we have a nice night.
More than 100 here. We appreciate what you do. We thank you, too, for your time.
Yes,
thank
you. The expansion of OTEC is a win forever.
Tom, we're going to see what else is going on.
All of them do. So, kudos on getting that done. I know. I don't think we need you.
I don't think we need Tom.
Yeah.
Tom, you can go. Larry, maybe.
All right, Tom.
Sort of.
Have a nice evening.
Thanks, Tom.
The other one we got.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck. Very
nice.
Can
you hear us back?
Okay.
Can you do the ordinance that you want Larry's input on?
The stormwater.
Yes. So
that's our stormwater.
Yes. So now we have two... master plan consistency reviews, as John will say, there are 26 A's, and let's do the stormwater one first, which was number 2 on the agenda.
Yeah, what Kevin said before, the 26A is, you know, it's interesting, the 31A, which you just did here, you have 45 days to do. The 26A, you're basically doing the same thing, you have 35 days.
All right, hey, do you need something else?
Oh, at my office. And that's in the municipal building.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So on this one, and this is Larry's here, this was the stormwater, right?
Yeah.
The memo was pretty good. It was very good, Larry. I understand it. I see it lessening the requirements currently. But the only... And I'll, if you want to talk to it, Larry, more than that, does anybody need any more explanation?
I think it's the minor development, so it's for the small homeowners, like building a pool.
You got to talk louder so Larry can hear you.
Like for building pools and things like that, to make compliance not such a burden, but still prevent stormwater, right? That's how I understand.
Make it more reasonable.
Yeah.
Minor.
For minor, yeah.
Larry, does it extend beyond residences? I think it probably does, but...
No, this is the minor development ordinance. From what I've seen, it really applies to the residential development for private site improvements for patios,
right.
Maybe garages, pools, combination of the of both. The minor development is above and beyond the stormwater requirements that is required by either Highlands or by the NJDEP and the state mandates. And the revisions that I've
suggested here in my memo was coming out of just some comments and complaints I was receiving from private residents, and I passed this along to the mayor initially and the concerns, and from an engineering standpoint, I think that the changes I made still meet the intent and purpose of the minor development stormwater for quantity and runoff and trying to get water back to the ground for recharge. It allows them some flexibility on design. I think that the 3-inch runoff for storage without any consideration for infiltration to soils for sizing the DMPs was more or less an overkill. And very large structures going in, and recently with the cost of construction increasing for material and labor, these were getting the burdens on residents, and they're getting very pricey. So the suggestions that were made on it would be section 2 of 165-229 was to address some of the sizing of those structures. I didn't change any of the threshold requirements. So what was considered a minor development in the past is still going to be considered a minor development. The addition of section 3 was just to reiterate standards that are in place more for septic design, but in the septic design regs, it provides setbacks for dry wells. So I wanted to be able to capture that on a local level, to have a little more teeth on the design enforcement when it comes to review. And it's all good. That's health and safe. That's not putting dry wells too close to potable wells or surcharging or overloading septic fields. Mm-hmm. And the fourth, I believe, may be a point of contention maybe from some of the board members from what I was my previous discussions earlier in the afternoon. That was just put in place. That's the relief from requirements. That was, again, trying to allow anyone that may have a de minimis increase that would require a stormwater BMP, or if there was some extenuating circumstance on the property that was really limiting where they could place certain items. There's conditions in the code that you have to be 20 feet from foundations. There's setbacks from wells and septics. And depending on the topography of the site, you may come across the chance where I can either allow a reduction in the recharge structure or possibly eliminate. So that was really the intent of the minor stormwater requirements. It was really to help out the private residents to still have meet the intention of any stormwater planning requirements, and also allow some flexibility in design.
Yeah, so Larry, and I asked Larry the question, and I like the concept of this, that it's going back to what the state or the major development regs are. So it is, you know, addressing that we were holding the minor development to a higher standard. And that's good. I think we all agree. My question comes to that number 4 where I feel this just is going to create more aggravation than not, because anybody who reads this is going to say, I'm special. My yard is special. How do you stop that from being an escape valve when we've already moved it off of?
I think it's a balance. We have to figure out how to strike, because you also want to have him have the flexibility to decide what kind of mitigation needs to occur in order to each case may be different.
But I put administrative paper in all
this. But why do you even have the standards of the 1, 2, 3? In other words, I'm an engineer. I'm looking at it. I go, okay, we got, okay, here's what you need to do. And then they go, no, you don't understand. My driveway is a little bit canted that way, and the rain, you know, aren't we all going to get
into that? It's actually, though, I believe, and Larry, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but my reading of that is it's not what quantifies the trigger for the requirements, but how those requirements are implemented. In other words,
it says reduce or eliminate. It said reduce.
Right.
I agree with you, Brian.
I don't know how you could eliminate. If you calculate it.
If you eliminate it, then it goes to, it doesn't apply.
I see what you're
saying. Well, it's based on sound engineering principles as well, so is the question.
Who should make that decision? Do you want, I don't go hit enough Larry left and right. one thing. With Denise with the administrative waivers,
right.
She has oversight by the chairman of the planning board and ultimately by the board.
So what you're saying is if Larry says, no, you've got to do X, Y, and Z, and the resident objects,
what do they do?
What do they do?
And not only that, but the way it's written, everyone's going to be asking Larry for ABC because it doesn't matter what's on top because he can reduce it or eliminate it. No, it's got to be based on sound engineering principles or a reasonable cause.
Oh, man, I can drive a bus to reasonable cause.
So, Larry, let me ask you this. You're basing this on something I'm sure that exists in other municipalities that you work in.
That's a question. Is this?
I do work for municipalities that have waivers written into certain requirements when you have local permitting that requires engineering review, whether it's minor stormwater management or things of that nature. Me personally, if you want to strike four, I have no problem with that. For me, from a review standpoint, it makes it easier. I'll tell you that much. I mean, I'm already making everyone comply with the current standards, even though I'm getting a lot of pushback. And again, I think what we've done here on some of these recommendations is going to help a lot of people on trying to reduce the improvements that they would have to build on their property. One of the other reasons too is that some of these systems get so large that it almost becomes a constraint on the property. You have these underground systems where even though you don't see it on the surface, you really can't do much on the rest of your property. You can't install trees. You really can't build over top of it.
It's over-engineered.
So what we've done is really helped the residents of the municipality. And again, if four wants to be stricken from the draft, I have no problem. Again, it does. Not to say that I haven't seen it before, but I have seen it before where it does put a little bit of an interpretation on the engineer. It is based on engineering principles, and it would have to be a de minimis reduction.
But it doesn't say that.
It opens the doors.
Right, because Larry, when I dealt with you, for example, in Berners Township on field changes. So
yeah.
I gave Larry legal advice. I have a crib sheet on field changes, and there is a thing called de minimis, but this one doesn't say de minimis. And this one doesn't just say reduce, it also
says eliminate.
Is the
preference of the board to insert the word de minimis and remove eliminate, or is the preference of the board to strike the whole thing?
That's a good question.
I think that's a question. I would view this, and it just be, I don't know the issue behind it, except it sounds like we're significantly addressing an overly difficult requirement. So we're making it a lot better with items 1, 2, 3, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my thought would be walk before you run and see if that addresses everything and not try to solve everything with 4 versus now try to cut back 4 into de minimis and change only.
Reduce and de minimis.
Right. And not eliminate. And then I'm interested in what the board thinks.
How is it any different than a field change thing? Like, why wouldn't the same parameters apply?
Well, the inspector, and this is within a vacuum of a single property owner, considering any other factors, the left, the right, the front, the back.
A field change is if there's an underground obstruction in the way of a pipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if the engineer...
Field condition.
Yeah. If, though, most applicants, a lot of people come in asking the engineer for a field change, but it's really not a field change.
I won't say what I'm thinking, but we'll talk about it later.
Mm-hmm. It's either a change that requires amended final site plan or amended preliminary and final site plan. And they want to call it a field change. And so the way we define either an obstruction that prevents something from happening or the minimus change to not waste the applicant and the board's time can be done by a field change.
In order to cut to the chase, and I say this because I have received in almost 2 years since I was mayor, and I don't know what John received.
He received a lot.
I have received zero complaints, but I believe that is due to Larry's deftness at dealing with them in the moment.
John, so I have to back John. Yeah.
I would ask Larry, what's going to make your life
easier? Would it be easier, Larry? That this is what Brian's suggesting, that the engineer may reduce, not eliminate, the infiltration measures required by Section 165.229A2 above, if in his professional judgment, based on sound engineering principles, forget reasonable cause, the reduction is de minimis.
Yeah, that would help.
Kevin?
Yeah, I think I can live with that because I think de minimis and reduce versus eliminate.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a good catch.
Bill, and John, everyone likes it. Yeah.
We want to change the township engineer has the right to reduce or may
reduce. May reduce, cross out, or eliminate.
Right.
And then we'll have to
call it. I'm saying, the professional judgment based on sound engineering principles, cross out reasonable cause exists
because we've been certain
to do so.
I know.
The reduction
is
the minute.
It can't hurt.
The reduction is the minute. Either way, if we should come back and say,
you got it?
This is a cleanup item.
So can we say this would be not inconsistent with that recommended, with that change?
Yeah.
And that suits them enough that they could go do it. They would have to bring it back to us again.
We only say it's not inconsistent because we don't have Tom here? Or I don't know why it wouldn't be consistent.
Let's put this way. I would say, you could say it's not inconsistent, but you're recommending,
yep.
And then that's up to the township attorney whether it's got to be reintroduced and come back here.
Right. Yes.
That's not us.
But then they'll have to set it up. Yeah, they might.
They might.
Well, yeah, if we have to kick it back and just represent it the next time.
Right. It's just one more round trip. That's
all right. Let's do it right.
Stop saying de minimis.
Yeah. But I like the word.
All right. So. We're afraid. Does the board agree
a motion like they said?
A motion like we just said. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call. 1 second. John, you made the motion?
Bill made the motion. I seconded.
Okay. Mr. Glazer?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Sure.
And Ms. Moussamet?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Larry, we probably don't need you for this one. You can tend to Kitty.
So loud.
Have a good evening.
I'm sorry.
That was funny.
That's funny. They were talking through the culinary section.
Yeah.
All right, so the next one is a fairly simple one, I think. I don't know if there's much to do with
it. Way to jinx it there, Kevin.
Bill can talk about the backstory.
The backstory, this was a board of adjustment request from, I'm going to say 2 years ago, 2020.
Right.
And so it's just been sort of lingering in the background on my desk. We batted back and forth a bit. We found a definition in it was our township or something that we liked. We talked with our professionals about it, and then we thought it was would make the board of adjustments life easier. It does clarify our language, like we talked about.
I believe a very simple complaint the board made in their report was that there just isn't a definition.
Yeah, we can't. They've got to hang their hat up.
So now they've got
a definition. Yeah.
All right, so it's pretty straightforward. Any other discussion or questions or concerns?
Where'd you get it from? Okay.
Outer township.
Outer township.
It's across the street from
Kimmy's
upper
township. Yeah, Kimmy's upper middle and lower.
564 minutes of
time. They've got lower township.
Yeah, well, Kimmy has pretty lazily named a lot of towns. Upper, middle, lower.
Living in a place like that where they call it lower township, upper township.
It's a lovely community, though, lower.
Yes.
I love the Kimmy guys.
So, all right, so is there a motion that ordinance is consistent. Not inconsistent with the master plan.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Mr. Glazer, thank you. Mr. Lazarus, roll call.
Mr. Glazer?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. So real quick, I just note the Denise did show the administrative waivers. I think they've been doing pretty well, particularly the cell antennas. It seems like everybody is, all the carriers are going from 4G to 5G, mm-hmm. and they're smaller and not as high, so it really does save a lot of time.
The report's nice. The report's nice to see.
Yeah.
Let's put it into context.
Well, this is I keep a log like this for all applications.
Right.
So I just use my same format, and this is just on a separate tab, so that I can, do these separately.
But when you think about it, these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 really simplified the process for both the applicants and for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. It's a little. There's one difficulty that I see, and I didn't bring the application with me, but it's item number 4. There's like a bunch of stuff jumbled in there. Previous site plan, if one exists. Copy of the resolution, certificate of compliance with the previously approved site plan. Everybody's glazing over all of that.
Okay. And I think that's part of why, just to give some rationale here, is these really should be pretty cut and dry and obvious. Like, we talked about when we did it. You want to put a generator in, you want to change the lights in your fingers, you want to swap out antennas. There's a sort of eyes closed. When you start getting thornier with, there's a bunch of site issues, there's a bunch of questions, at least then we say, go back to the traditional process. It's not well suited to go through the...
If I heard you correctly, so I think you were referring to the ability of applicants to understand what they need to provide in that.
Well, that's part of it, but then again, how much do we really want them to provide? Well, I mean, in some cases, we do.
Right.
So, but for example, is everyone, most people, familiar with 1322? Yeah. South of here, it's now Huntington Neurology.
Right.
Okay. They want to put a generator in.
Right.
Very simple. They just submitted the application, and they barely... submitted any of the things that are needed. Like no copy of the previously approved site plan, no original resolution. I don't have a certificate saying that the site is in compliance with the previously approved site plan. So, I mean,
how can you make a decision?
How can you make a decision without the information?
Well, that's,
you have to ask for it. If you're going to ask for it, so.
Well, that's what I want to make sure that we want to take it to this degree, because I'm getting pushback.
Listen,
I agree, but I just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
We're giving the shortcut already. You can't just
shortcut. No. You give an inch, want to take a mile. Everyone appreciates that they give
legal basis to make this
push.
If there's a very simple rubric of boxes to check, I think that should be.
That's sort of say establish the site plan.
They're saying to Denise, like, well, what do you really need that stuff for anyway?
Right. All I'm doing is putting in the generator.
Because that's planning board,
because you're putting in the generator.
The planning board, if you don't like it, you just don't have to hear it.
I always say, I don't make the rules, I just enforce them.
Yeah,
this is
that's
what I
gotta
do.
I say that all the time.
That's
okay.
Bring your professionals in. We're
without giving the name of the applicant, I think we should also say that if Denise gets a administrative waiver request, and on the face of it, she can't say, oh, yes, then she should say no.
Right.
And if the applicant then says to her, well, explain to me why not, and Denise says, because I'm not comfortable with that you've proved everything, and then they come back to her and start fighting with her, Denise just says, listen, she needs to say, talk to you or talk to me or talk to you. That's what
Talk to
her. Right. I told her that, she should talk to me, and then she should tell them, I spoke with the board attorney, and if you want to call him, you can.
Yeah.
And we have.
That's right. And she didn't call him.
They don't.
Because she sent me an email complaining about you.
Well.
See, that's what they, I'm not this applicant, but that's what they try to do.
Because I'm trying to do my job.
Correct.
With somebody's
alarm. Yeah. You know what? I get it.
And do you know how many phone calls and emails?
And what now what she does is they send you the emails that they want a regular seat.
Easier for the applicants. It's easier for the board.
Yes, and easier for the board, but honestly,
it's not easier for the board. So I think it's been good, and I think this is a good, when people want to complain, they're not saying that there's a 75% success rate. Just like when Tom does the Board of Adjustment and 85% are granted.
Right, and people complain.
You think that we never give anybody a fair shake. Same thing here. We have 75% sail through acceptance rate, and then some people have to be the skunks at the garden party.
Yeah.
I mean, the other answer, of course, is the chairman won't sign off.
We didn't want to go there. We were getting ready to.
All right.
Although we have one that it couldn't come here because previous relief was granted by the BOA.
Right, it would have gone to the BOA. Well, that's where they're going.
That's the worst of a different book. It's going to be interesting. Do I owe Tom Bowers something stronger?
See what happens, because...
Okay. All right. Real quick, so we got, look, we're going to let you, you can go if you like.
We just got the vouchers. Okay. Want to do the vouchers? I've reviewed them. Denise put them out there.
Motion to pay the bills.
Second.
One, two. Brian and Lazarus. Roll call, we could probably do it. Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
Mr. Sinai?
Yes. All right, anybody want to do any reports?
We had a meeting last week, we have a meeting next week. We've got a school resource officer who started at the middle school and two elementary schools. So that should be going well.
It's not still the same. Did you retire?
Well, this is, he's at the high school.
This is now for the CPSD as opposed to the high school.
Right?
We're getting some cash from this. Cash retired a long time.
We've got the vehicle equipment auction, so we got a bunch of junk we're getting rid of.
When is that?
It's online.
It's GovBits.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a bunch of junk. You need light bars for a postcard. Most of the stuff you can probably see on Highway Road, drive by the DPW yard. We did a lot of hiring last weekend, which is very good. We replaced our board administrator. So the fire went to resign, so we transferred to Kim. Deputy, so she's moved up to a post-staff position. We hired two seasonal public works laborers to help with leave season, and one full-time who's got his CDL. We hired one police officer, getting ready for leaf collection. We're probably going to consider a grant writer in our next meeting.
For use by the township overall.
So that's good. Novus moves along, kind of. The closure of it anyway. And mill and paving of the unpaved portion of Allerton and a significant chunk of Petty Cove. Are scheduled for October by the end of the
day. Can I ask a question? I'm curious about this. How do you guys determine which roads to mill and pave and which to chip and seal?
That would be a great question for Larry if he were here. It's usually a contact between Larry and Jay, DPW director, and they go out and take a look at the road boundaries. And Jay has a very good sense of typically the base, the
each of the roads and which needs a rebuild, which
we base what we'll do based on.
Well, chip and seal is obviously less expensive.
We haven't done chip and seal.
We're
looking forward to chip and seal, but we're doing more rebuilds and milling tape. And chip and seal is in Jay's budget. We've been trying to get it done, and we just haven't done it. So it is something that's on his radar.
Chip and seal is awesome for a bicycle ride.
So a couple of Eagle proclamations coming up. Hopefully we'll have something on the agenda for improvements to the Bunk Park Playground.
I'm sorry, what proclamations?
Eagle Scout. And hopefully I anticipate an introduction of the vacation ordinance for the old municipal building. And then once that's done, we can come back here. So that's not all of his fault.
Ordinance, Mr. Higgins and I have been brainstorming about in 31. We had a couple of meetings. We had one first meeting with Mr. Behrens, so we'll bring something forward and talk a little further on that in the course. I hope so. Let's move on. Tom is going to work on the Highland Center ordinance, but that's on his docket before this probably, but those are the ones we're looking at. I'm trying to think what else we have in the ordinance. There's some more cleanup ones. We actually have a long list of other items. There's a big one in 331. That's the one we're focused on.
I can give an update on the Historic Preservation Commission, the advisory board. We now have two net new members, which is wonderful. Jason Strauss joined. We got our first custom article sent to Julie for inclusion in the October 2020 newsletter written by yours truly.
Good.
We have a really exciting list of new kind of exciting articles just to not copy and paste the research and the same old stuff. We did have approval and are in fabrication for two historic sites.
Mm-hmm.
The Beaverbrook Homestead, which should be out of fab production in about a week. We're going to schedule a meet with the DPW to put final placement. We have agreement from the property manager of the complex itself to place it. We just wanted to do the right thing and just kind of confirm before I go out and mark. Mm-hmm. Hopefully have that bulldog concrete footing put in. Doesn't matter if it's signed up right before frost season.
Right.
That is great. And the second one,
the furnace, right?
It's the injury furnace, right. So that's a really great story to tell. I appreciate whomever helped push that along to have just such a minimal budget for us to get those two things done. Thank you. Appreciate that. Continue to work the budget moving forward for next year.
Everyone.
I know. But the other exciting updates are we have just generally like a new group of people who are energized around kind of spreading awareness and educational awareness. So we're going to work with a couple of folks who run AnnandaleVillage.com Yes, Mike, who is now in Florida. He's been very helpful and instrumental. So I think next up, we're kind of working through just talking a little bit about Wendy Akers, talking a little bit about grant writing, coming in the future, and sort of solid improvement programs. We need to have a discussion about what to do, whether we want to do that with that structure within Wendy Akers, because that is another thing. But all around, good stuff. Some great article coming out in November about old homes, specifically in fire safety, written by Jason Charles, so I'm excited about that.
That's good.
And,
Public Works is putting in the...
Yeah, so we're coordinating with Public Works to, once we mark out, when we go together and mark out the next site line, what we want it, and then they can put the concrete in, and then sign attachment, and then we can just prop it, whatever, it's not winter, spring, summer, fall.
And I hate to bring it up, but at some point, topic for a long time when it was only one shingles for the spring house that kind of comes over here.
Yeah. Like that. Steve
Bale might have mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else?
Look at good.
Thank you, everyone.
All in favor? Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Kate, sorry.
Thanks, everybody.
I know
that was.
This is the first time this ever happened to me. I was splitting a stacking 24, 45. We're not happy.
Did all of a sudden it happen? Or
no, yesterday I felt it.
I swallowed a lot more on that person. They kept on bringing up the budget, right? Now that the days are a little fine, they kept on bringing up the larger budgets. Not my problem. They didn't want to do anything. I think there's going to be a shit show. Makes them, they have to work something out with Lord, but that's what those football games are going to be an absolute
you guys they will be. Plus, the
our fence has been key to keep people from.
I think it's temporary gate should stay there or a modification of the operable.
I agree. Yeah. That's they're going to have
to. So they're taking the whole fence down?